Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Just sit right back and you'll hear some talk about a football team and rear end problems and wedge salads. PFW in Progress. The host was a mighty radio man. His crew was a childish bunch. They invited New England Patriots fans for a two-hour lunch. A two-hour lunch. The email started getting rough. The producer, he was lost. If not for the courage of the fearless Fred, the broadcast would be tossed. The broadcast would be tossed. The show's alive and it can be heard on Patriots.com with Fred Kirsch and Big Head 2. The balding one and his paunch, Scalabino, Tacoma, and Dr. D. PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I guess we have a little bit to talk about, huh? I don't like this, having to wait 2 days to talk about this, to vent.
What happened to, they're still the Jets, we're still the Patriots, 40 year, whatever your whole rant was last
week.
Well,
that still applies.
That fell on deaf ears, huh?
Why?
Because it just didn't play out.
We lost.
Players certainly weren't listening.
Oh, no, that wasn't aimed at the players. That was aimed at Patriots Nation.
You better come up with another this week, because based on the Ask PFWs, including one that said, is it time for Belichick to go?
Look, I'm right there with you.
Our fans have to be the most reactionary.
I can't believe how many emails I got after the game that started out, I've been a lifelong Patriots fan, but, and then they explain how they're now jumping off the ship. You were never a fan if that loss is making you jump off the ship.
Such an idiot.
Yeah, real fans like Craig wouldn't jump ship.
Anyway.
You out there, Craig?
Look. I am as disappointed as anyone. I hate losing to the Jets. It's more than a loss. It's giving those scumbags exactly what they wanted and what they needed, and that makes it all the more, you know, frustrating to come out of there without a win. We haven't done it in 8 years, so it's
this one hurt. You know. And I'll use as my barometer, Paul, and you saw this. I've seen Logan Mankins talk after every type of bad loss, Miami games where Matt Light wouldn't, where the offensive line was avoiding, Super Bowls where the offensive line laid an egg, and he said, I'm getting out of here. One was tough. I've never seen it before. So this one hit home.
And pretty much every player that both Andy and I talked to, Eric too, after the game, in some way, shape, or form, was asked about the week-long talk and hype, and they all, to a man, they said, listen, when you win,
right,
you deserve to be able to celebrate, but you could see the frustration the faces. They all said the right things, and they maintained, because when you lose, you gotta shut up and take it.
That's
and you
right.
could see it on their faces. I agree with Andy. It manifested itself with Mankins, a guy who is always a stand-up guy and always talks in every possible situation.
And still was a stand-up guy.
Oh, yeah. No, he didn't blow you off.
Right.
But you could just tell
they
were really, really disappointed with themselves, and
the Jets had
they gave all the credit to the Jets.
The Jets had their cake and they ate it too. So I mean, you know, they did it before the game and they did it during the game, and now they get to celebrate. All credit is due to the Jets. They played a great game, but you know, fans, to say that it was Brady's fault. Brady had a guy in his face all day. You know, now if you want to say that the same reason the Patriots lost that game was the same reason they lost the Super Bowl in 2007. Okay, I'll listen to that, because it did remind me of that, where Brady had no time to do what he needed to do. And it resulted in him trying to make Julian Edelman his go-to guy. He threw to a guy who had never caught a pass in the NFL 16 times.
But part of that is the role, too. that's a go-to role.
One of my
offense.
Headphones just went out. Anyway.
You going to make it over there?
It just went back in.
But I do. I think that slot role,
I know it's the
is
role,
such a key part of this offense that even if Welker's out, whoever's in that role is going to be thrown to.
I'm sorry.
He talked about that after the game, too. Edelman did. He said it wasn't – that's just the way that the offense is sort of put together, and Tom's going to make his reads, and I was in the position that's going to get most of the ball.
I understand, you know, when a guy's out, another guy has to step up, and, you know, they don't change things, you know, because of the personnel, all that. Baloney. Okay? The guy has never played wide receiver in the NFL before, okay? You can't tell me that Kevin Falk wouldn't have been just as good an option chipping out of the backfield and in a little, you know, dump pass. You can't tell me that they haven't had – that's not in their playbook.
But the problem with that, Fred, is when you're under the amount of blitzing that the Jets did, you can't afford to get your backs out of the backfield.
Right.
They can't be chipping. They've got to be blocking.
No, and when you go to your quick throws, those quick throws go to Wes Welker, except Wes Welker's not there.
And Maroney – Lawrence Maroney,
well, that's another one.
And Kevin Falk were outstanding in that game in picking up the blitz. Maroney must have picked up a blitz four or five times with really, really tough blocks.
Yeah, there's no question. They deserve credit for Brady was sacked, not at all, and hit, I don't know what the sheet said, but in my mind, three times maybe.
I could barely count more than five times where he sat back, off his back foot, bounced, and threw the ball in rhythm in that game. And he dropped back 47 times. They had constant pressure around him. And I'll tell you, I think it's awfully difficult to get the backs out of the backfield as safety valves.
Because if you do, you're getting hit.
When they're sending six, seven, and eight guys at you when
you don't have
five
men
to block.
Right.
I mean, Bill always says it's a math problem.
Pretty simple that if they're sending seven and you don't keep a back in, they really are getting it. Or if they're sending six, even five. A lot of times ends up with a back having to block somebody because of the way it's schemed. So I just don't think the backs were as much an option as you'd like them to.
So is that it? Jets have the best defense since the 85 Bears and no one's going to beat them?
No, but you know what I want to get into?
I want an answer. I want an answer.
You and I were clearly on the same page based on reading your edit letter. I was full bore against everything they did on offense this week. And that starts with whiteboards, wristbands. It's like the Jets won the game before it started because Kevin O'Connell's on the other team and they're going to have a lot of fans and they're going to be talking. So we got to go wristbands and change. I'm sorry, but if I'm not mistaken, this offense over the years under Tom Brady has played some pretty good defenses.
Right.
And has spread those defenses out
in some pretty hostile environments.
Up tempo in some pretty hostile environments.
Right.
And nowhere along the line did I see them having to go to these armbands that has Joey Galloway looking down at his belt buckle right before the snap. And this up tempo attack was either barely getting the playoff at the clock or getting flagged for delay of games. I think you made too much of a change. How about the old, and I know it's early in the year, maybe Welker's out and Brady's rusty, but the do what we do. You know what the Jets did? Did what they do. They blitz you. They're coming with pressure. They didn't say, oh, wait, well, they might try to spread us out, and Brady's good against pressure. They might beat us, so we won't blitz.
And by the
way,
a lot of
teams, they blitz because that's what they do, and that's what they're good at.
And a lot of teams have done that. They said, we can't do that.
Right.
They're going to spread us out.
What do those teams do? They lose.
They lose.
They're defeated before they take the field.
Think Jacksonville playoffs 2 years ago, 07. That's, you know, we can't go after Brady. We got to cover. We got to drop eight in coverage. And what happens? Brady goes 26.
I feel like they lost part of this game before they took the field when they decided we have to change everything we do. And I know that they're a game plan team, but there's a difference between game planning and just throwing it all out there and just changing it up on the fly.
You know, now yesterday in his press conference, Eric was the person who asked about the whiteboards and, you know, is that something you'd used before? And Belichick, instead of answering the question, answered the question he heard. And he said there wasn't any problem with the whiteboards and the communication. In other words, that's what you're trying to get at.
Right.
And maybe it was. But, Andy, I got to agree with you. You know, in theory, it's a good idea. Hey, instead of talking, we'll have this visual thing. There's a number on the whiteboard. All you got to do is look down on your wristboard. That number is the play. But, you know, first of all, there's just a million things that could go wrong that – look, in practice, I'm sure it worked fine, but you got the glare of the stadium on those whiteboards. You know, a 16 all of a sudden looks like a 15. You know,
or you just have pressure.
And it's just different.
The stress of doing something different now in front of whatever that is, play seats, 75, 80,000 people, right. And the stress of a game. Right. And they all kept saying that. You know, it was no. We practiced it all week and it worked fine. Oh, so it worked fine behind Gillette Stadium with Ray Ventrone types on the other side of the ball, and you didn't think it might be a little different with Bart Scott and Jim Leonard and all these guys flying around? You didn't think it might change a little bit on the fly?
And Bon Jovi playing in the background. I mean, I agree with both of you guys. I think, listen, we sit here every week almost, and we really applaud Bill for being a game plan coach and coming up with so many different innovative ways. I just don't think this one works. It doesn't mean that, like the SPFW guy that Andy alluded to, is it time for Belichick to go as the game passed him by?
No.
That's as ludicrous as any comment as we've ever had on this show.
I'm going to say he's gone about 8 years, he's 100 to 20 or 100 to probably less than 20, 10 in game plans that I didn't like versus I liked.
You know, I thought that we didn't really stretch the field. We didn't, I don't think, run the ball enough in this game. I don't think we ran enough draws. I thought the draws were working early in the game, and we got away from them. And I think that, like Andy said, not only all the stuff that Andy said about the pressure of the situation, but you also have a quarterback, a college quarterback, making his NFL debut. Didn't it stand to reason that he was going to be not in the right spot a few times? Moss was directing him all over the place. Don't you think that may have had something to do with three delay of game penalties?
Right.
You know, guys weren't exactly sure what they were doing, and I think that some of that was an unnecessary wrinkle that they added to their own problems.
And I think the way they...
You mentioned the draws were looking good early. I thought Maroney looked okay early. He dropped that ball, and it seems, okay, you're in the doghouse.
Well, I felt like, and I said this to Paul, the running game over the first 2 weeks has been, they have tried to establish it at times. They've come out, and then the first sign of a two-yard run, we can't run. We've got to go back to spread it and throw it. It's like, well, you know, even great running games that, you know, Adrian Peterson gets stopped for a two-yard gain. You're not going to hit every one for 10 yards. And it's like the first sign of any hesitation, they're, okay, go to the air. That's what we do.
Yeah, there does seem a little bit of impatience.
And I liked one of the SPFWs that I really liked was we have blocking tight ends. We have five running backs in the backfield. We've kept our offensive line together over the years. It feels like we're built to run the ball, but we're throwing it all the time. And I know we have Moss and Brady, so then why didn't we overload on receivers? We have no backup receivers. You go from Wes Welker to a seventh-round quarterback conversion. Yeah. So it's almost like the team isn't built for what it wants to be right now.
And I don't mind passing more than we run. I mean,
we've got Tom Brady. We're a passing team. We all know that. I agree.
More than 2-1? I mean, 100 attempts? He's on pace
but
for
in a game like
800
that,
attempts.
Well, in a game that, like know, that, I mean, it really cried for – you know, running the ball, because they were doing so well getting pressure on Brady.
And I'm going to take Andy's point a step further, too. I thought the running game was there, Fred, and then you're without Wes Welker, and you have your inactives before the game, and you combat that by having your third tight end, your blocking tight end, inactive as well, and Michael Matthews. Now, I'm not saying that if Michael Matthews is active, the Patriots win the game. I don't know. But it just seemed to me that they decided going into the game, this is what they were going to do, and maybe they were kind of surprised that Welker wasn't able to go on Sunday. It was a game-time decision by all accounts. Wes was there. He worked out before the game. Maybe they felt like he would be able to go. But I think that when he's not able to go, you have to make an adjustment. They had no receivers in that game. They had Randy Moss. They had Julian Edelman, and they had Joey Galloway. They clearly don't have much faith in Sam Aiken because they didn't put him on the field once, I don't think, on offense. I didn't see him at all. Did you, Andy?
I don't think so,
no. You know, they had Chris Baker out there, I guess, in body only. They barely looked at him as a receiver. Watson got a few balls thrown his way and made a couple of catches. And that was it. I mean, why not, if you're going to be without that much of your offense, and Welker and Moss, let's face it, are the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
So you're taking away 50% of the passing game. Why not make an adjustment to that and say, let's bulk up and let's run the ball more? We have five running backs, like Andy said. Let's put that third tight end in Michael Matthews, and then let's see if we can power him.
And I'm a big believer in, especially with this line, but in lines in general, that they do need to get into the mindset flow of firing out and running the football. I don't think you can – this is an athletic, undersized line. And for them to get into the – especially, you know, Dan Copen against Chris Jenkins, he's not going to sneak up on him. There needs to be some mentality there, and I think you need to establish that. And a lot of the guys have talked about that over the years. Sometimes it's hard to just go from spread it out, drop back, and all draws to let's actually try to establish the running game. And I think they need to do it a little bit more.
Look,
I really do.
And here's the thing. You know, for all these people who say it's over, you know, everything that I think we're talking about is fixable. I think they overthought this game. I think they out-coached themselves in this game. I really do. You know, and I know that, you know, I'm sure the coaches would scoff at that if they hear anyone saying that. But I really think that they overthought it. I still believe that they're a better team than the Jets. I think that they put too much thought in it. It got too cute. And, you know, but the good thing about it is we're coming out of this game worried about the offense. The defense played pretty well. They only gave up one touchdown. Were there times where they could have gotten off the field and they didn't? Yeah, but that seems to be the case with a lot of teams in the NFL, even the good teams. Teams are having trouble getting off on third down because the place where you have your least amount of depth is when you go into your dime, and it's a passing league. So it's almost set up to be that way. But, you know, I can't believe that this offense is going to stay the way we saw it against the Jets. It will be fine down the road.
I'm pretty sure about that.
But I'm not
as encouraged by that fact as you are. I agree. I think the offense will be fine. I think we haven't said this yet. Andy and I were talking about this upstairs. And everybody nationally talked about, you know, Brady's probably going to be a little rusty coming out of the gates. You know, right. He's had a whole year off. And I think we kind of got immune to it a little bit around here. We watched him in minicamp. We watched him in training camp.
Yep.
Fred, not even making fun of you, you said it's as good as he's looked.
Right.
He looked normal.
Right.
He looked
and even
normal
into the preseason.
He looked normal to us
Philly?
Into the preseason.
I mean, hit Moss for the touchdowns.
Yeah.
It looked like regular offense.
I think we all sort of put that.
Washington, too. We all sort of put that in
the back of our minds. Well, you know what? He's been a little rusty. I don't think there's any way to get around it. He missed throws even when he had time that he never misses. The one to Edelman in the red zone.
Yeah, I just
was a
didn't
glaring.
Feel well.
And I also thought he had Galloway for a touchdown on the deep one, the deep post. I thought he put way too much air under it and allowed Lito Shepard to come over and make a great play.
Now I'll blame Galloway.
Yeah, no,
I'm just going to blame Galloway until I'm proven he's not in the wrong.
I'm going to give that one to the Jets that was a good play.
It was a good play, but there was separation. There was like a 4-yard cushion.
It was a bad throw.
It hung up a little.
It was behind him, and it was too high.
It hung up. It definitely did.
But, and again, this is Brady I'm talking about. If that's, you know, A.J. Feely making that throw, I'm going to say, that's a nice play by the defender there. But I've seen Tom Brady rifle those in. It worries me that you've lost a game that at the end of the game you could point to the offense and not the defense. That worries me. It doesn't encourage me because I know there are going to be some games that the defense is going to cost them, and they just wasted a loss when the defense didn't cost them a game. They didn't play a high-powered offense on Sunday, and they played one that Rex Ryan decided only to try to score in two out of the four quarters. For whatever reason, he completely took the foot off the gas in the fourth quarter, which I thought was a terrible coaching decision by Rex Ryan, because I thought they had the Patriots completely on the ropes as that fourth quarter started.
Yeah,
and you got the 16-9 lead, and he decided I have enough points to win. Well, you know what? You didn't. You won the game, but that ain't enough normally to beat the Patriots.
I think he might have got a little bit nervous. He, as boastful as he is,
he was determined.
He got Mark Sanchez back there, and he didn't want to, you know, put it in his hands.
And I do agree. You also said, Fred, that the Patriots are a better team. I agree with you right now, but I'll tell you something. If Mark Sanchez is legit, and we've seen nothing that would say he's a bust, he looks pretty solid. Not a star, but he's been pretty solid and poised.
Yeah.
If he develops, that's a pretty good football team.
They've got a lot of good football team.
They have some weapons on offense, and they have a very exciting high-pressure defense.
Now, Jenkins went out. Did he come back in, Chris Jenkins?
Yeah, I got to tell you something. I think he faked that.
Really?
Yeah, I'm throwing it out there.
Okay. We call that the Willie McGinnis.
I think he Willie McGinnis that.
Yeah.
I think he was tired. The Patriots did a good job of spreading out those defensive linemen, and Ryan didn't have very many of them active. He had a couple of inactive defensive linemen, that names that we wouldn't necessarily know, but that hurts their depth. And I think that he was gassed on that play. If you remember, that was the key 3rd-and-1.
Right.
It was the second down play with about 4 minutes to go.
The one where they
from around
Fred
their
Taylor.
Own 35, 40-yard line.
Just before that.
Right. It was the play before that, and he went down, and they went out and looked at him. He didn't get helped off the field. He walked off.
Right.
And when he went to the sideline, no one attended to him.
Yeah.
I think he faked it.
Okay.
I think he wanted to get the defense set.
He could have got hit
now,
in the nuts.
Now, you can make the argument. You could make the argument that, you know, against that, well, wouldn't you think they would want Chris Jenkins on the field on such a play? Yes, but I think that if he was tired, he might have looked at it and said, hey, a tired Chris Jenkins isn't as good as our defense getting set up with whoever's going to come in and replace me.
Right.
And Sean Ellis made a great play off the backside, ran right by Cash. Did you see how easily he got past Cashier on that? And Fred Taylor talked about you get backside penetration on short yardage running plays, it's going to destroy it every time.
Yeah.
He got Eric excited when he said that.
Oh, for God's sake.
Anyway, all right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com. We have a lot of emails already here. Let's see. And I don't have my...
Can I ask you a question?
What?
Real quick before you get into it?
What?
Just something that I was wondering watching the game. The air raid siren that the Jets kept using incessantly.
Right.
Was the play clock running when they were doing that?
It was before the snap. I know that. I mean, you know, it was before they broke the huddle or something.
Is this in-stadium entertainment jealousy?
No.
It's illegality.
It's a rule.
I think it was in between. I don't think it was.
If the play clock was running and they were blowing that horn.
I don't think so. I mean, I'd have to go back
rule
and look.
Violation.
I like bending
rules. I think it was a rule violation.
It may have been, but I find it awfully hard to believe that it wasn't talked about.
Well, I know a couple of our sales guys that were there were saying that it was a rules violation.
Actually, they had Michael Crabtree running the horn. He was working for the Jets in that.
I thought it was in between series, like in time, you know.
And,
but,
right, if it was
and they did tamper.
If it was coming back from a TV timeout, that's one thing.
Branch.
But if the play clock was running, it's a rules violation.
I'll tell you this. It was incredibly annoying. I'll tell you that. Their game presentation sucks, by the way. That was awful. Don't let him make fun of you about anything the Jets do, because that was terrible. That was Bush League
101. Oh, their flyover was terrible. Now I'm on board with that. I just remember that. The flyover
flew over.
It was at a normal height. It was like 30,000 feet or something.
Aren't they called the Jets?
Yeah, it was terrible. Everything was laughable except, you know, when they beat the crap out of the Patriots.
Yeah, right up until the time we lost.
That wasn't funny. I mean, they made a mockery. I mean, with the Kevin O'Connell thing, I think that's what frustrated the Patriots so
much.
Damian
Woody, Larry Izzo, and Kevin O'Connell were the game day captains.
Which, to me, the worst one is O'Connell. Okay, Izzo is a captain on special teams. It's what he was in Miami. It's what he was here. Whatever. Pro Bowler, blah, blah, blah. Woody, veteran lineman. You always have. But the backup quarterback who's been on your team a week, you're just flipping the bird
that's
to
all
the other
doing.
Team. And I think that's what frustrates him. And you know Rodney Harrison was seething because he was talking crap on the internet with Rhodes. But that's why they used to make people pay for those types of things. On this day, they were incapable of making the other team pay. And that had to hurt. That's why they were.
Yeah. So, okay. Second time around, if you're the Jets, you don't do anything differently, I would think. You do the same thing until the Patriots prove that they can beat it.
Well, I think Rex Ryan's whole philosophy is that. I think he's one of those, we do what we do, we're going to do it better than you.
So how,
get out of the way.
How do the Patriots beat this? Is it simply just, you got to run the ball? Is that it?
I mean, I think if they had just been more fine-tuned passing the ball, they would have been fine.
But how do you pick up these guys? How do you keep... Brady, you know, last night on the Monday night countdown, Tom Jackson had a little thing where he says that, you know, a quarterback needs 2.5 to 3 seconds to be able to throw the ball. So they had Brady go back, and it was like 1.8 seconds before two guys were in his face. He goes, you know, forget about all this stuff. There's something wrong with Brady. That's why he had a bad game. I agree with him, but how do you combat that?
Well, you have to do a better job, but I think they could have won the game. I mean, they missed chances, as Paul said.
I know, but how do you do
Edelman.
A better job? Are we saying that?
But my point is, if they had just – forget the pressure and picking it up. If he had just completed throws that I think 99 times out of 100 he completes and he sees, they win the game.
Yeah.
I think the Jets are a pretty good football team. When you play pretty good teams, it's going to be difficult. It's not going to be a layup. And you have to – Bill always says every game, you know, there's a few – we had our opportunities.
Yeah.
I think this was a true game of that.
I think if
they could have won the game.
If they had turned even just one of those field goals in the first half into a touchdown, you're talking about a different game in the second half, I think. You know, I really do. Just those four extra points has the Jets thinking a little bit because they kept you out of the end zone in the first half. And they went to the locker room only down 9-3.
I'll tell you another.
Having, you know, Sanchez had a net minus 2 yards passing
in the
first half.
I think you're absolutely right, Fred. I actually, our Jets counterpart was sitting next to me in the press box, Dan Lieberfeld or Leberfeld.
Yeah. The Spygate.
He, you know, I looked at him on one of, I think it was the third drive. I said, if the Patriots get in here, the game's over. was one of those nod things.
Right.
You know, but they didn't get in. And I felt the same way. I said, if you can get up two scores in them, and now, you know, the Patriots might be able to do some different things to get after Sanchez. He's going to make a mistake, and all of a sudden it's going to be one of those 23-7 kind of finishes.
Right.
You know, don't hold me to the obviously right. the you know 23-10 maybe.
Right.
But I think it would have been a kind of a walk in the park yep. in the second half.
You know, and when they you know got the fumble recovery on the special teams play, you figured, okay, this is it. They're going to march right in, and they didn't. And I think that first half is when this game was won or lost. Forget all the stuff in the second half, Jets coming out and, you know, boom, 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 right down the field.
Yeah, the second half was Jets domination.
Yeah.
You're right.
But it would have been a different game if the Patriots had that four-point lead or better. And you know.
But that's where I think yours would have come into play, my questions about the defense still. I'm not sold it would have been over at any of those points. I think Sanchez may have had to been asked to make more plays. My only question is, would he have made those plays?
Right.
Because I still have my doubts about the pass rush, and well, I still have my doubts about the secondary. You know, Brandon Merriweather not only didn't bounce off the other guy this time, he bounced off his own guy to allow a big play. I mean, I still have some questions. You know, I've seen some flashes of, okay, you know, Mike Wright starts the game with a big play, but is Mike Wright going to do that when the game's on the line? Is he going to get the strip sack that Vrabel or McGinnis used to, and do they have those ability? And I said to Paul, I thought that, what was it? It was first and goal at the 10 or first and 10 at the 11, the Jets going in, and they had the two-yard run and a penalty, and Bill declined the penalty to give them second and nine or whatever it was.
Right.
I think on some level, there's an admission there. I think the old days, and I'm going back admittedly to a very good defense, 03, 04, but I think they would look at that as an opportunity to back them up, and we're going to make a play here. We're going to keep backing them up. We're bend but don't break. We make the key play in the red zone. Whereas
I think that was close enough where if you back them up, they're still in field goal range.
Know.
It's not that much of a deal. I'd rather have them have one less down.
Well, I think he really looks at it like, I'd rather have them have one less down now. I think that's the emphasis. Any way to get one less offensive snap for them is a down we don't have to defend. Because I don't think, deep down, as Paul would say, in places he doesn't talk about at parties, I don't think he has a lot of confidence in this defense right now. I don't.
Yeah, and, you know, the Jets had opportunities in the red zone, just like the Patriots did, too. You know, they had the one that was overturned, rightly. He was definitely, clearly out of bounds. But the very next play, he's wide open.
Whiffed.
Yeah.
Wide open. And he stumbled. The throw was high. That's a touchdown, just like the touchdown to Edelman's a touchdown, probably 9 times out of 10. So I kind of agree with Andy. I think he was looking at it as like, we got to just take the downs off here. In the old days, he might have looked at that as, hey, I'm going to push him back 5 yards here, and then I'm going to come on a blitz, and I might be able to get a sack to get an 8 or 9 yard loss. All of a sudden, it's going to be a 40-something yard field goal, and they're going to just dump it off underneath. We can make a play here and maybe get no points out of this, not even give them the 3, because they know they're not giving up a touchdown. They don't know that now.
All right. Well, webradio@patriots.com. We have still a lot to talk about, a lot of emails to get to, and we'll do that right after this.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush, but you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir?
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You got?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America NA, member PIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories. Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehallatpatriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
This offense has completely turned the corner to me. Against an average defense, they're going to put points on the board. And I think you have a better chance of doing that in Miami than you do in the Meadowlands.
I just want to have another chance
January.
To beat the Jets. Oh, God.
But they have another chance to beat you.
So what? Don't
see,
be
it's a
I'm not afraid of that. Unbelievable.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, we're breaking down Sunday's game.
It's
in
funny,
the
you were doing
against the Jets.
I thought we were breaking down FCC regulations.
And during the break, you called me the same thing you called me in that little clip.
All right, hey, lunch today is provided by Tree Hugger. So I want to thank him for today's lunch from
you, kind sir.
Pizzeria Great balsamic
Randy.
Turkey.
And let's get to his email. He says, it seems like ages since the Gilligan theme. I'd have done one for the Brady Bunch, but I've gotten a little busier with work, which is probably a good thing. I have two items I'd like to hear your thoughts on as you choke down a balsamic turkey wrap no tomato in an order of fried dough.
Mm.
First and foremost, talk me down from the ledge, Fred.
Jump.
Since I don't lay out for expensive TV, the only Pats game I get are the ones that come in my moss-covered twig antenna, which aren't very many out here in the Beaver State. I look at the NFL films clips and read the articles and stats, but I, like many of your out-of-area listeners, don't get the eyeball test. What have you seen in the first two games to show that things aren't as bad as they seem? First of all, did you know that I had over 5,900 people on curse words during the game?
That's a lot. I think losses bring out the worst in people.
Well, they didn't know it was a loss when the game started.
Maybe they did.
They come in as the game's going on.
5,900 people. Anyway, look, I'll say it again, and I know, Paul, you disagree, but my solace is that we're complaining about the offense.
Oh, I mean, no, I understand what you're saying.
I know the offense isn't going to be that
bad.
I'm
just looking at it in the big picture. I think, you know, you kind of wasted a game that you're hoping that your offense makes up for your defense. Yeah. Well, you lost a game where your offense let your defense down.
Right.
I agree with Paul. At some point, the defense is going to cost you a game, and now you've wasted one where they didn't.
Right. Well, I find it encouraging. We don't really know how good the Jets' offense is going to be, so maybe, you know, scoring 16 points, between 16 and 20 points, is how they're going to win games this year. They're going to win it on defense. We don't know that. But it didn't look that bad.
I don't think it wasn't that bad. You know, I agree that the defense didn't cause you the game.
Yeah, so I was a little bit encouraged in that. No Mayo. They mixed up the fronts. They went a lot 4-3.
I have one major criticism of the defense.
4-2-5 basically was the was the alignment.
Where's James Sanders?
I didn't get
that. He didn't start.
No, I know.
What's going on?
He didn't play very much
at
all.
He's a sub guy.
What happened?
I didn't get it.
Of course, the one time he did, he saved the touchdown.
But neither did Patrick Chung. He only played a couple
He didn't play
plays.
At all.
Yeah, but Patrick Chung's not like a 3-plus year starter.
No, I know, but you know, as far as safety.
I didn't get the
McGowan, by the way, I thought at times looked really good. He's pretty explosive.
I think he played well.
He can hit.
I'm not going to compare him to Polamalu, but he has some of that. He diagnoses a play and gets in that 6 to 8 yard range. Boom, he closes quick.
He's a very physical player. That's exactly
it's probably
the
why he's going to be hurt.
Yeah.
Get a little Bob Sanders or whatever, you know, throw the body around and I'll give you five games.
And he has been hurt,
right?
You know, in his career already. But I was surprised. Not only they came up with the five DBs. Okay, so McGowan was one of them, but he put Springs out there too and took one of his starting safeties off. He basically played three safeties. He had McGowan up around, you know, kind of in that Tank Williams kind of role.
Right.
And one of the SPFW guys actually asked about that. But you play with Springs and Merriweather in base first and 10 situations. Springs and Merriweather were kind of your safeties with Bodden and Wilhite on the corners outside with McGowan up around the line. So you took a starting safety out to add two other safeties that weren't one of your starters. I didn't get that. I didn't get that.
I think he did mention speed was an issue. He was looking for speed, and maybe that was just simply, the fastest guys are going to get to play more, you know?
Could be. I mean, they are at all three levels, they are going away from bigging and going to faster. I mean, Burgess and Banta Kane, even Mayo last year at linebacker. I mean, there's going towards speed as more of the basis of this defense. Now, if that takes Jimmy off the field, I'm not for it.
You brought up Burgess again, by the way. And another,
where was he?
Another,
I brought him up more than they do in the game telecast.
Another week that we didn't really see him at all.
Oh.
Banta Kane flashes. You see him around the quarterback periodically.
I think Ty Warren had a decent game.
I also don't have the same expectations for Banta Kane as I do
Burgess
a guy
around
who
at all.
Led the league. His brother-in-law's with right tackles every snap.
Do you see Burgess around the quarterback at all? Like, you know, Dwight Freeney, when you watch the Colts, Dwight Freeney can go without a sack every game, but you notice him around the quarterback. Sometimes the tackle does a nice job of pushing him wide, but he's a constant presence off that edge.
Right.
I would think that Burgess, on his bad games, is running around the back of the quarterback every play.
Right.
I never see him there.
Never gets there.
Maybe that's just not what they're asking him to do. He's more
get
stay at
passer?
Home.
I mean,
I don't know.
He's a guy who's led the league in sacks relatively recently, and you gave up a third and a fifth to get him. You gave up
that's
something.
That's the second half plan. Second half of the season plan for him.
I hope you're right.
So he really is brother-in-law, and he's not showing. He's just
He's stay at home, you know, contain, you know, set the edge.
Because I turned to Brian Lowe, who I had the great fortune to sit next to in the press box, because only Paul Perillo is worthy of a front row.
Tell all your friends.
I was way out.
I got to tell you, I much rather have the
second
row seat.
Much better than the first.
Can watch the TVs. I was closer to midfield. Well done, Jets. But Brian Lowe, I turned to him, I said, who are the playmakers on this defense?
Make sure you tell your
And
friend.
I go, yeah, who should be the playmaker? After I said that, and there was silence kind of like that, I said, Burgess should be one. Thomas should be one.
Right.
And they don't.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Well, I
don't care about, you know, you're filling in with Gary Guyton, whatever. The guys who are paid and valued as playmakers aren't. And that's a problem. Right?
The best player on Sunday was Vince Wilfork.
Right.
I thought. On defense.
But you can't have your nose tackle be your playmaker.
Nope.
If your nose tackle's your playmaker, you suck.
I mentioned that to illustrate your point.
So they need to get plays from Adalys Thomas. We had this argument, was it last year, this offseason, the wow plays, and he needs to make them.
Not only that, Freddie, but coming off the field a lot on third down passing situations.
I don't know.
He can't take Seymour off now, so he has to take Thomas off.
The second question from Treehugger. I just listened to what I think was Bill's Monday press conference, where he ended by saying the defense has improved from last year, but that's not saying very much.
No, he said the communication.
Right. Yes, he was referring to the communication. And I wasn't clear. I made a mistake of thinking yesterday that he was talking about the offense. He was talking about the communication on defense. He cleared that up on EEI yesterday afternoon. I guess he was referring to the defensive communication.
Yeah, the question was about the Gary Guyton and the communication. So it was definitely about defense. There was no confusion there. The thing that I think was cleared up on EEI is people thought he was taking a shot at, say, Mike Vrabel, who was responsible for the communication last year. And on EEI, he said, no, that's not what he was talking about. There were some situations where they were making changes and calls and stuff from the sideline, and it wasn't getting to specifically the secondary. But it wasn't because of the communication between Mike Vrabel and the sideline. It was they weren't getting the calls in properly from the sideline. But I also thought that was a weird throw-in by Bill, which Bill doesn't throw anything
usually
in. You know that.
It was unsolicited.
It was a lot better than last year, but that's not saying much.
Right.
Is a very weird way for Bill to say anything, in my opinion.
The Pats don't need to worry about the Jets' trash talk. They should have just taken care of things after the game, Oregon style, and just come out swinging.
Logan Mankins would be good for that.
So that's Tree Hugger. Thank you for the lunch, Tree Hugger.
Matt was pounding him in the
back
of the head.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Let's see. On the phone, we have someone on the phone. Who's on the phone? Kevin from Reading. Kevin, hey. How you doing?
All right. Well, I wasn't doing so great after the game, tell you that. What's the general attitude of the callers or the emails? I'm at work, and I just went on lunch, so I didn't get to hear.
Well, I haven't got to a lot of the emails from today's show, but there's a lot of them. But the ones that came after the game that are coming in for ASPFW, I mean, the sky's falling.
Yes.
All
pretty
sudden,
negative, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
What's wrong with Brady? Is the game passed Belichick by?
Right.
Pease is taking a lot of heat.
Dean Pease has been under the gun.
Bill O'Brien is taking heat.
I don't understand why Pease is taking – to be honest with you, I think the defense has played pretty well. You know, all in all, we were expecting it to be a disaster, and I don't think you can call them a disaster by any means. I think they've played well. I think there was one play Sunday where Guyton seemed to get carried for like 5 yards on the running back, 5 yards when he was hanging on the running back's back. But I think Guyton played pretty well. I think generally, all in all, the defense, I think it's going to be a work in progress. But so far, I don't think they play that bad. And I just have to believe this offense is going to come around and they're going to start clicking in the red zone.
Right.
There's too many weapons.
Right.
Well, I think the general criticism, and this goes back to last year with Pease and the defense, is you're not getting pressure with your guys up front. Why aren't you doing more creative things? And I think what really bothered fans this week was comparing it to the Jets, who were bringing 5, 6, 7 guys from a wide variety of places. Why aren't we doing that? Why haven't we done that for the last year plus to give the defense some spark and some playmaking ability?
But even thinking back to the Super Bowl years, didn't they generally 80% of their regular season games, they don't really do much exotic. I think when I think of the Patriots, they like maybe a big game during the regular season, like you know, end of the year where you need to have it. Maybe they spice it up a little bit. But just at least, you know, okay, going back since Romeo, I can't really think of a lot of things that they've done to spice up regular season games, their defense. They play it pretty straight up. It seems like they say, this is what we do, beat us.
Well,
they don't do a lot
of exotic blitzing, but they do a lot of exotic.
I think they do. I think they did.
Yeah.
In 03 and 04, I agree with Andy.
Blitzing?
Rodney Harrison, come on.
Teddy Bruschi?
No.
How many times did you see Teddy Bruschi diving over?
I mean, you talk about exotic. No defensive lineman against Buffalo.
Yeah,
I mean,
but that's not necessarily blitzing.
Yes, it's blitzing. They don't know where the pressure is coming
from.
Rodney Harrison's a safety.
Rodney Harrison
had to have 10 or 12 sacks as a Patriot.
A blitz isn't a blitz unless you send one extra guy than you normally would.
Then it's
a blitz.
And they did that constantly. Right. In passing situations, they don't do it anymore. And I agree with Andy, they don't do it anymore because they can't.
Well, now they're afraid that if they do...
And I think the Jets do it because Darrell Revis is a pretty good corner, and Lito Shepherd is a pretty good corner.
So one-on-one,
by the way,
their
third
confident.
And fourth cornerbacks played very well in Donald Strickland, who also got hurt, and then Dwight Lowry came in, their fourth corner, and he made the play on the fourth down and knocked the ball away from Joey Galloway. Their secondary played a solid game. They gave up some plays here and there. There were some open receivers that Brady missed. That's going to happen when the other team throws 47 times, and I think the Jets out and out blitzed on half of those plays, according to some of the stats. You're going to have some guys open. But for the most part, when left on an island like that all day, they didn't get beat for very many big plays.
So, Kevin.
Yeah.
Are you the guy that owns the basement company that advertises on sports radio?
No, not me.
You sound just like that guy in that commercial. The one that we love basements, we're passionate about it.
Nope, not I.
Oh, you sound just like him.
Back to what you want to talk about. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, the other thing, too, is what's your take on the offense? Do you think I think some of this stuff about, you know, last night I saw Manning. I think it was the one to Dallas Clark. He didn't step into that throw. He had a guy coming. He just kind of threw it and did that move where you kind of fade off to the side. I think a lot of this, you know, I think Jaws has been, you know, hopping on this. And, you know, sometimes the quarterback can't, you know, make that prototype. You step into the throw, you follow through, because there's going to be guys coming at you. And sometimes, you know, what's your take on Brady? And, you know, do you think he's truly messed up or he's just been off a little bit?
I mean, he's a little bit off with his receivers, but as far as his mechanics.
We said that last week.
The Jets were the ones that did that, not Brady.
I guarantee you, you can go back to 2007 and find some touchdown passes, some of his best plays, and it wasn't the perfect form. He wasn't stepping directly into the throw because you're right, Kevin. You can't do that all the time. It's not physically possible.
And who was it? Keyshawn, I think, before the game said, oh, you have to stand in the pocket, take your licks. He took his licks. Yeah. I mean, it's not like he wasn't getting hit.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement. I'm with Kevin on this one. We're all in agreement.
Yeah, it just seems to me that, you know, Moss and him seem to be connecting, but definitely Galloway's off. And it seems like a lot of those throws, Brady was expecting him to maybe cut off a pad in a couple of yards, a couple of yards shorter. And, you know, I thought Edelman did well. But, you know, still, you could tell that there was, you know, he missed time in end of preseason where he wasn't out on the practice field. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Brady, I think, missed some time, too. So you definitely could see where those two, where, you know, more time would help them connect. But Welker definitely has to get back. And I'm kind of worried because he missed most of the preseason with that knee. He comes back for one game, and now he's out another game.
Yeah, I agree with you, Kevin. I am also concerned about that. And I lost in
Fred
the fact.
Fred mocked me when I said all we talked about all year was Brady Moss and Welker. And I said, well, now you're missing Welker and Mayo. All the things we talked about can't be missing are missing.
But I'll also throw in, you know, Kevin, you brought up that he missed all that time in the preseason and then played one game. And I think you get lost in the fact that he caught 12 balls, but he wasn't Wes Welker in that game. That wasn't the guy that played the last 2 years.
It wasn't that kind of explosiveness.
No, he averaged 7 yards a catch. That's pathetic.
Yeah.
He caught a lot of passes, but he didn't get a lot of yards on him. And we're used to him getting a lot of yards after the catch. Not that he was bad, but I have to think that some of his, you know, like you said, his quickness and maybe explosiveness was affected by the knee, and it's a knee. It's, you know, it's not likely to get better for a football player with a bad knee early in the year as you go on. I'm a little concerned about that too.
Well, what's your early prediction for Atlanta? You guys got a good feeling?
I think it's a good defense to go. I don't think the Falcons have a great defense. I don't think they have the secondary in particular to keep up. I think it'd be a shootout because I think the Falcons are pretty scary on offense. I think this is going to be the week that we're talking about the defense.
I was just going to say this is a good week to see where the Patriots' defense is. It's still early, obviously, just week three. But the Falcons, they got Turner. He can run the ball.
I'm very happy that these next two games are at home because I think if they were on the road, they'd be monumental tasks.
So this will be a very good test for the Patriots' defense coming in. And if they can give up less than 21 points, I think, okay, I'm very encouraged.
All right, well, I got to go back to work.
Thanks. All right, Kevin, go
keep fixing
the basements.
Up those basements.
I know it's you. You're lying.
All right.
I'm only kidding. All right. Doesn't he sound like that
good
commercial?
Call. I have no idea what commercial
you're talking passionate about basements.
That was really interesting. No. Not.
You don't listen to the sports radio when you're not on it?
I would have to have listened to a commercial in my day to know what you're talking about. You know my feeling on advertising?
You don't listen to
it. It's a waste of money.
Don't say that too loud. That's what we rely on, Paul.
Yeah, unfortunately, everybody else relies on that too, so you have nothing to worry about.
What?
Do we rely on that on the show?
Sure, we got American Airlines now.
Oh, so we're getting paid more now?
Who?
What's that now?
Why,
yes, who relies
Meech
on that?
From Montreal, as Rodney said, it's only week two, no need to panic. I'm curious as to what you guys think about the pass-to-run ratio. Anytime Brady has control of the ball, it's a good thing, and the game plan thus far has definitely been about shotgun. But I'd like to see the team work on establishing the run to slow down the pass rush. Plus, after two games, we really have no idea what we have in the run game. Can we count on it later in the season? We still have no idea. That says Meech in Montreal. I mean, you got to believe that we do have a running game. I mean, that was the whole idea. Fred Taylor, Kevin Falk, Lawrence Maroney, Sammy Morris, three blocking tight ends.
They also ran for 2,300 yards last year without Brady, meaning other teams weren't exactly scared to death of Matt Cassel, at least early on.
The first half of that
and over the course
was,
of the season,
in the box.
2,300 yards is a lot of yards in the National Football League. I don't care if it was 700, 600, 500 rather than, you know, Adrian Peterson was 1,700. That's a lot of yards.
Yeah.
And I think, theoretically, Fred Taylor is better than Lamont Jordan.
Right.
So, if any, and I'll say Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, I think, personally, is better than Ben Jarvis Green Ellis last year.
Right.
So, they should be better.
And for all of the criticism Maroney gets, on, you know, here with us, too, he's healthy. And he's better than what you got out of him last year.
Right.
So yeah, I want to see him run the ball.
Sean from Hazleton, Pennsylvania.
Were right on that jumbo package, by the way.
What about
remember
it?
When we said last week they were loading up with those three tackles, tight ends, everybody, and they weren't doing anything?
Right.
Well, it cost them this week in that short yardage play. They got nothing out of it. They didn't do the light thing.
They didn't do that. I don't remember ever.
They still loaded up on that side.
They didn't
side.
Do that once.
What did they do? They had the two tight ends on that side?
Yes.
They had Baker and Watson over there?
And
student body left.
Well, you know what killed them?
They also had Morris at fullback.
What killed them on that play was the backside.
But I'm just saying.
No, I know.
Right now, they're not capable of doing what we're asking them to do, which is flat out pound the ball.
Yeah, and I think Fred Taylor would have had to push the pile forward to get that, even if he didn't get backside penetration.
Because
they had that strung out.
That's right.
They're not capable of moving the line of scrimmage, so to speak. They're not doing that right now.
Yeah. Not a good week in Patriots Nation, says Sean Hazleton, especially when you lose to the Jets. With that said, I think we are in a phase where we have too many questions and not a lot of answers.
That's not a good phase.
Here is a stat that is very alarming. For those who think the defense is all right, one tackle, one assist. What is that, you ask? That is the combined stats of Derek Burgess and Adalius Thomas. My question is, where are they? I know the defense gave up 16 points, but who besides maybe Mayo, Wilfork, scares you on this defense? I don't think this defense has been the same since 04. No physical presence, no more schemes, and just always weak on third down. Isn't the coach a defensive genius? Two, I'm more confident the offense will work itself out, but you traded for a tight end who is a help blocking and signed, I believe, Kendall Simmons to a 3-year contract, yet both are inactive against a blitzing Jets team. If you want to see a lot of Brian Hoyer and Isaiah Standback, this is the strategy to do it. Three, says Sean, not to bring up scandal and espionage, I feel Kevin O'Connell was a help to the Jets. I know the Patriots will deny it, but the wristbands, the cue cards, it had to help the Jets in some way. It's a shame, though, O'Connell would not apply himself to the Patriots playbook when he was here.
Who said that?
That's the word.
No, it's not.
I just made it the word.
Okay, well, it's not the word, by the way. It's not
I
the
do think O'Connell was a help, but I think because the Patriots made him a help by kind of acknowledging that he was going to be a help.
It was a factor.
After Bill said, you know, that's
overrated. It's overrated. You know, especially for a young player, I think he put it.
I bought that, too.
That was one of the few ones of those I bought.
This is the first time in the Belichick years I felt he let the Jets intimidate him. Belichick, best assist is second half asset, I think he means, is second half adjustments, and I don't see it. In fact, I haven't seen it in a while.
Well, the Jets made them this week. It was a totally different team.
We will bounce back this week. 38-27 win over Atlanta, but it's a long season, and there are some concerns.
38-27?
Yeah.
I could see something like that.
Sure.
I could see that. I think the Patriots will win this game.
I could also see 8-7 the way things are going.
I don't think Atlanta has the chops to win this game on the road.
It's what we talked about earlier, though, the Burgess-Thomas thing. I mean, they're supposed to be playmakers. That's the bottom line, and they're not making plays on a defense that we have doubts about. When you're not good across the board, then your guys that are supposed to be playmakers have to carry a little more, have to step up, and they've been kind of invisible.
The problem with the defense hasn't necessarily been, you know, we're looking at the bottom line, 16 points. That's pretty good. I agree. If we could stick around that area, we'll be all right. To me, it's the consistency. You know, all of a sudden, the drive at the end of the second quarter, they went right down the field. They went about 70 yards for a field goal. Then it was touchdown, field goal, and you're late in the fourth quarter where you haven't stopped the team for four straight drives. You know, so when you look at it and you say 16 points, that's not bad. But when the game was sort of hanging there in the middle, you couldn't stop them. And then even at the end of the game, when you needed to get the ball back and save your timeouts, you let Leon Washington rip off about a 19-yard run to get a first down there, and that'll get you below the two-minute warning. You're out of timeouts, and now you're in a desperate situation on your own 10-yard line. You got to go 90 yards with no timeouts. You know, so I do think the defense has played about as well as you could hope, but it hasn't exactly been great
it's
either.
It's not lights.
It hasn't been as good as the numbers indicate. Let's put
it hasn't
that
exactly
way.
Been tested.
James,
no.
From Brisbane, Australia, just chiming in with my take on the weekend's loss, as I'm sure a lot of people have. I was really happy with our defense on the whole, but I think they can be even better. I thought in man coverage, the DBs did a great job, but as I said on Kirschwords, I thought all our conceded big plays came when we were in zone coverage and that the guys didn't close fast enough when the receiver came into their zone. I really think this year that with 2 minutes to go, I would honestly trust these guys to make a stop for us and get the ball back. On offense, well, the whole unit came out and looked rattled. It seems like they're almost overpsyched for the last couple of games, and that's causing them to get a little bit flustered, which then spirals out when they don't hit the Jets for six in the first few drives, as they may expect. That being said, Taylor and Maroney looked decent when they did get the ball in their hands. Maroney still danced a bit, but he does look better than before, and Taylor still has some gas left. I hope we can come out and give those two and Morris 15 carries each against Atlanta because their D-line looks a bit vulnerable through the middle. Anyway, my final point is on Joey Galloway. It's clear the dude can still run, but he let at least one catchable ball fly through his hands and seems even more out of sync than the rest of the offense. I may be overanalyzing things, but listening to Brady's interview on EEI and yesterday's lot of podcasts, it sounded like he was pissed off but didn't want to make any issues public and made excuses for him. That could be me just overanalyzing things, though. So, all right, still confident we'll be there in February. Glad we're struggling now as opposed to week 16. So there you go. That's James from Brisbane, Australia, down under.
Yeah, you were dealing with two wide receivers that didn't really look like they knew where they were supposed to be for a lot of that game the other day. And that's, you know, if Brady was pissed off about that, I think he has a right to be.
I think
at the very least you should be expected to know your assignments.
Sure.
Right?
I would think so.
I'm going to play conspiracy
Andy
guy
Hart.
Here. You think Brady was very effusive in his praise of Greg Lewis. And Greg Lewis was a numbers game. By all accounts, they really weren't upset as much with what he didn't do as it just wasn't working out.
Is
there a chance Brady wanted Greg Lewis, said Greg Lewis was where I wanted him to in camp? And we've seen Galloway struggle from day one straight through Sunday's action on the field to learn the offense, be in the right place, be in on Brady. Is there a chance he's pissed that he's stuck with a guy and they let another guy go who's playing for another team right now?
I think there's a definite chance, and I'll take you a step further. Even if Galloway is exactly where he's supposed to be all the time, did you not need another guy that was where he was supposed to be all the time?
And I
said
to you
upstairs,
I think Greg Lewis, had you put him in the slot for Wes Welker, would have caught eight balls for 90 yards or whatever. I don't think he's incapable of that position.
You know how I think of that. I say it to you all the time. I think that there's a That's the place the ball's going to go.
And
that's the tight end of old.
You referenced
Brady.
The lack of spark from Welker maybe last week in catching the balls. You really lost that spark this week with Edelman when those passes at the line of scrimmage ended at the line of scrimmage.
They were half and half. I thought the screens he didn't get anything out of.
He lost
yards.
But he
got a lot of yards after the catch on other balls. He broke a lot of tackles in that game.
Some. I thought he was okay.
Had a lot more yards.
I thought he was okay. I think Welker, remarkably, virtually every time, gets 4 yards, makes it a running play on those balls line of scrimmage.
Oh,
I thought Edelman looked like crap.
I thought the screens were snuffed out by the Jets. I don't think he got anything out of those. But
how come no one ever snuffed someone Welker does?
But I thought he broke a lot of tackle. Well, he did last week. He only averaged seven yards.
We find out he's hurt.
No, I'm just saying. You know, maybe,
by all accounts, I think Edelman's healthy, right? I mean, they put him out
teams,
there. He was able to play because he was able to play, as Bill would like to put it.
That's a fair point by you.
So I'm assuming he's healthy.
Because Welker wasn't able to play. He was inactive because he wasn't able to play.
Right.
That's what Bill told us at the end of the game.
Right. So two different times.
Andy makes a good point.
Right.
The guy's
Edelman was
able
active,
to play.
So I can make the assumption that he was able to play.
Let's see. Pete, formerly of Wayland, now in the UK, says, in the preseason, Brady is on sync, and now the ball is consistently overthrown. What gives? It can't all be receivers failing to run out their routes.
Well, part of the overthrows is the pressure. You're throwing over the pressure, you're releasing high, and the ball sails.
No one was blitzing him like he's been blitzed in this, certainly in the Jets game.
Rex Ryan would have.
Rex Ryan would have had a bounty on him in a preseason game.
Ben in Vermont.
He's not stable.
Nope, but I kind of like it.
Ben in Vermont says, how much are the Pats missing Josh McDaniels? I find the play calling questionable so far this year.
Hey, how about Josh McDaniels, by the way? He's 2-0 on the way to that train wreck.
That's going to stop.
Yeah, I can't see them winning more than 6 games. I really can't.
He's already won more often than I thought he would this year.
Let's see. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. On it right now is Mike from Puerto Rico. Mike, how you doing?
Back home on the sunny island.
Yes.
Hey, I want to first of all thank you guys for showing me and my friends the studio last Thursday. We really did have a lot of fun, and I was just wondering if the shirts fit at all.
Yes, I actually wore mine last night while watching the Colts-Dolphins game.
I'm just stunned that you had the Colts-Dolphins game on.
What the hell does that mean?
Because you usually don't watch games.
Shut up. Yes, Mike, it fits great. Mine does. I'm sure Paul's was too tight because he's fat, but
I haven't put mine on yet, Mike, but I'm
his
sure
is
it
too
fits.
Tight too. He's fat.
Okay, that's cool.
Andy had to cut it out, you know, at the neck to get the head over it, like he's from Revere, working out.
But I'd like to thank you guys. I mean, because we really had a good time. And just one comment before I go into the game. I hadn't experienced Patriot Place before. I had only been there maybe like 4 years ago when it was just a stadium. And I find it hard to believe that there's an owner or a franchise out there that cares more about the fan and the fan experience than the Kraft and the Patriots do.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mike. Well, very well said.
Yeah.
So and the
Mr. Kraft,
and the Patriot place,
are you there?
Yeah.
That's a must-see. That's like a mecca for all Patriots fans. You got to be there.
Absolutely.
Go
if you're in the vicinity, you're a Patriots fan, you don't go to the Hall. Shame on you.
Presented by Raytheon.
Now, Mike, while you're throwing out kudos, you were on Kirsch Words at some point during the game. What could I do to make that better? You know, we had almost 6,000 people on the blog during
Nudity.
The game.
Get a ghostwriter.
How was the experience, and what would you like to see different, or, you know, how do we make that better?
I thought there'd be a lot more fan interaction, but after a while, I sensed what your purpose on it was. It wasn't to make it like a chat, because it would just stream out of control.
I can't do that, yeah.
Exactly, because I figured that at a certain point in time. But you had it pretty well covered. I mean, I was literally watching it in between plays and during commercials and stuff like that, and I just felt like it added to the experience. So as far as – and the thing is, you could actually sense the frustration that you had, even though you weren't writing it. I mean, you weren't putting any particular words into it, but you could sense the frustration that you had with the whole – way the game was turning out. So
yeah.
I honestly don't know what else. I don't make it video and see you banging your fist against the table, something like that. I don't know. But other than that, it was great, and I really enjoyed the commentary, both from you and from the other people that were actually putting comments into the curse word.
Yeah, I mean, we get a lot. I get a ton of comments, and, you know, I'm trying to watch the game and concentrate on the game, but also kind of keep track of the comments coming in. It's difficult. I
have no idea how you can do it.
It's a work in progress.
No, but it looks good. It really, I think it adds to the experience, especially when you're like, they cut you off at a certain point where like the tension is real high, and then they go to a stupid commercial and whatnot.
Right.
But you really want to stay into the game, so
right.
All you do is you go into that into curse words, and it just keeps the flow of the game going. You don't get like an unnecessary break or what they call a TV timeout and
right.
stuff. I mean, you can keep it going.
Well, that's a
but
good.
It was a good experience for me.
That's good input. So breaks are important. Okay, good, Mike. Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to ask you, because I heard it from a previous emailer. How concerned are you, or if you are at all, about the offensive play calling? It just doesn't seem like to have a cohesion to it.
Yeah.
It just seems like, I mean, we were running the ball down their throat. Fred Taylor was being effective. Maroney was being effective. And then all of a sudden, I mean, I think we got 30 yards out of 3 running plays, and then the next 3 plays are passes that don't get us anything.
I think we need to separate, though, play calling versus, you know, the philosophy. Because, you know, for example, I think we all agree, you know, it would have been nice to see them run the ball a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's a little bit different than just, you know, criticizing the play calling, because then, you know, within the running game, now you can call
right.
bad plays, you know. So I hate saying, you know, it's always when the offense isn't working, oh, the offensive coordinator isn't calling the right plays. Well, yeah, but
I remember when Charlie Weiss sucked, and now everybody wants him back.
Exactly. I mean, there was
and around to Daniel Graham, and people said, get this guy out of town, and now he's out of town. You want to bring him back.
Right.
To illustrate that, I was laughing with Fred and Andy, Mike. You know, I was a huge Bledsoe fan, as everybody knows.
Really?
I used to get so mad when everybody would rip him, and now I'm thinking back, and I'm like, wow, how could I have been mad then? Look at how much more Brady has accomplished in his career, and we're getting emails now saying, what's wrong with Brady? Giselle has ruined him, and he can't play anymore. He's afraid. His knee is this. And I'm thinking to myself, have these guys not watched the last 10 years? So Andy's right. Everybody wanted to kill Charlie Weiss. Now he's gone. Everybody wants him back.
Right.
Get the f*** off the field!
Exactly.
Same thing with Josh McDaniels. Well, not really Josh McDaniels, because his first year they broke all kinds of records. But
what's in the past is in the past. The game is done. We've lost. But I just kept feeling that we were going to go into, like, because they were really, really blitzing. I mean, they were really, really going at it. And I was thinking, this is like the perfect setup for a Falk draw up the middle or screen pass.
Well, that's what
stuff
I thought.
Like that, so they would back off a little bit.
Yeah.
But it never got there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I'm sure the Patriots would love to do that one over.
Yep.
Other than that,
they'll get a chance.
I mean, hopeful for the season. I still think we're going to make the playoffs and go deep into it, if not make the Super Bowl. And I hope to listen to you guys all the way through.
Thanks, Mike. Keep the faith.
I
wish more fans were like Mike.
I like how you brought up the philosophy versus play calling. And
that was
talking about this a little bit upstairs, though. It goes back. The whole offense is – the philosophy is Belichick's. Whatever they do in terms of game plan and philosophy is Belichick. But at some point, Bill O'Brien – takes over his play call.
Right.
And I'd like to know how much leeway he has within a game plan, how much creativity he's allowed to have week to week, and how much of it is reined in by Belichick or controlled by Belichick. And we'll never know. Yeah. No one will ever tell us. And we won't. I mean, I guess if they fired Bill O'Brien at the end of the year or promote him to coordinator, we'll have some ideas how Bill thinks it went throughout the course of the season. But I have trouble criticizing Bill O'Brien for the play calling, because I think a lot of it is Belichick. Just like I think a lot of the success in the past had to do with Belichick.
At the end of the day, he gets all the credit and all the blame.
Yeah.
I don't know if he gets all the blame, though.
He doesn't, though.
Dean Pease is taking a lot of heat.
Dean Pease gets the blame on defense, and whoever's calling the plays, right now it's Bill O'Brien, seems to get the blame on offense.
Did you see that? I mean, it was like, now available on Amazon.com, How to Underperform on Defense by Dean Pease. Mm-hmm. And like, we're getting like these rip job emails.
And I just look at Dean Pease and I say, how can you guys kill this guy? Based on what he's had to work with compared to what Romeo had to work with. In the glory days of
And there's no
and
question, when Romeo left, the glory days left. I don't know whether it was because of him or changes in personnel
and
everything.
Forget,
but Eric Mangini was vanilla. Dean Pease has been vanilla. It's been vanilla since Romeo left. The complaints have been similar. It's just, you know, 1 year kind of got overshadowed by an offense, put up great numbers, and that led to some big plays on defense, some sacks, whatever. But when Cornell left, the creative, blitzing, dominant defense kind of petered out.
Let's see. Chris from Stamford, Connecticut, had something on my mind I wanted to ask you about. The Patriots have solid personnel overall. What they don't seem to have this year is a playmaker on either side of the ball, especially without Mayo and Welker. Against Buffalo, Merriweather and Woods stripped the ball, then Watson made the catch of his life. This past Sunday, it seemed like everyone was waiting for someone else to do something. I think Adalius Thomas is a good defender, but I'd think more of him if he just held on to that tip ball for that interception. New England needed a couple of impact plays, someone coming up with a big catch or someone, anyone, getting pressure on Sanchez. I hope that we won't have to watch a game quite like that again. So here's the question. Who's the impact player on this team? It doesn't have to be a Bruschi, Harrison, or Vrabel. We could use a bunch of Freddie Coleman's or Matt Chatham's, too. Thanks, and lunch is on me on Thursday.
On defense on Sunday, it was Mike Wright. He had that forced fumble, and then the pick he's talking about was a Mike Wright batted ball that Adalis didn't catch.
Did you guys get a good look at that replay?
Oh, yeah.
Did you think that was a ball that he should have come up with?
Adalis Thomas?
Because I thought the ball hit the ground.
He
dove for it, and I thought the ball hit the ground.
But I think he could have caught it. And for a guy who hasn't made plays...
Okay.
It gets lumped in with the inability to make a play.
I didn't really think it was that close.
I think if he had made plays as he's supposed to, people would say, oh, it was this close. But because he doesn't make plays, it's lumped in with missed opportunities. And I have no problem with that because he needs to make a play. The guy needs to stand up.
I didn't think that was really that close when I watched it on the
replay. Can I have a quick rant? Did you guys watch highlights this weekend? Did you see the fair catch
Yes, that's a
that's the worst rule in the history of the National Football League.
Another terrible rule.
Did you see that, Fred?
No.
It was Houston, right?
Houston, Tennessee game. It was Jacoby Jones.
Oh, it wasn't the
not Andre Davis.
Fair catch on a punt. He bobbles it up into the air. The gunner catches it out of the air. That's not legal because it's interfering with that other guy's right to catch the football.
Right. You have to allow him to make, now you can
he
hit
had
him.
The right to catch it when it hit his hands. He gave up that right.
And I don't get it.
That's the worst rule I've ever heard of.
Well,
terrible.
It's a bad rule.
Jeff Fisher will change it, by the way.
Once there's contact with the returner, to me, once the ball makes contact with the returner, if the ball's loose, you should be able to go after it.
See, okay.
You shouldn't have to wait for the
ground. I know you're going to yell at me.
Why is it different if he hits the ground?
I know you're going to yell at
me.
You're going to yell at me, but this is one where the NFL tries really hard to not create gray areas. Okay. So they have this rule that's the fair catch rule. Yep. When someone waves their hands up there, you're supposed to give them room, allow them to catch the ball, okay? What happens, all right, let's say the guy reaches out with one hand, okay, to try to catch the ball, and he's kind of bobbling it with one hand.
Once the ball doesn't – he doesn't have control of the ball, he should be live.
Okay, but –
second of all, why would you ever do that?
But hold on. Hold on. But maybe the wind blew it, and he had to reach out to get it.
Well, so he's a bad punt returner.
Okay, but, I mean, like, okay, but let's just say he does that.
Okay.
The ball hasn't hit the ground yet. He's still in the act of catching it. Okay.
But he doesn't have it.
But he doesn't
hit
have
him,
it.
But he doesn't have it.
But he doesn't
it should
have
be live.
It.
Yeah.
Well, see, but that's gray because he's still in the
I don't
act
see
of
what's
catching
gray.
It.
The ball was in the air. He didn't have it.
I know, but the ball hasn't
there
touched the
no
ground.
There was no gray area on the play that Andy's
talking
about.
The ball hasn't touched the ground and it hasn't touched any other player. So in the league's rule, that's still the act of catching the ball.
No, I know what the rule is. I think it's a bad rule.
Why do you get two chances to catch it? You had your one chance. If you catch it, you catch it.
And the league's idea that the second chance doesn't come until it touches somebody else.
I bet it's a different rule next year.
I don't know.
And
I
also,
this rule
because Jeff Fisher
time.
Got screwed.
And this isn't the
that.
First time we've seen that rule in effect. I mean, we've seen it before.
Well, there was it could have happened with Troy Brown in the 05 playoffs
right,
at Denver.
Right.
He had a fair catch that he bobbled and he got popped before the ball hit the ground.
Right.
I don't know.
Terrible rule.
I don't know what the difference between that is.
Terrible rule.
And also I think they're going to need to readjust. And I saw Florio wrote about this, and again, he's right. This whole nonsense with making a catch, you know, the Lewis Murphy play from opening night, the Monday night game.
Right, the Raiders game.
They had that play that they said was correctly overturned by replay, and they had two plays that were really, really the same. Yeah. That they backed up both of them, and they overturned them, and they called them catches. Terrible. Listen, you can tell. You just use your eyes. Forget this gray area. Forget this process of completing the catch nonsense. You can look and tell if a guy caught the ball. And there's too few times where the referees are allowed to just look and say, that's a fumble, that's a catch, that's incomplete. It doesn't need to be this.
Well, but they do
need
to have guidelines of what a fumble is and what a complete pass is.
I
know what you're saying.
I understand. And with those guidelines, you have the play being interpreted two totally different ways the last 2 weeks. It gave Houston a touchdown, and it gave, I think, Carolina a touchdown in their game, and it took a touchdown away from the Raiders.
And
same rule. Same rule.
Notre Dame got hosed, too.
By the way, did you see Susie Colbert before the game? She's gone with this, I want to look like I'm 60 years old hairdo now. Have you seen it?
I saw her. I didn't
see that. She looks terrible.
See
What's
that?
The relevance of that?
I don't know.
Well, it was.
Do you not want to kiss her anymore?
I never did.
Oh.
No. You never liked her?
I like you. When she first started out a little bit, it was kind of like
so
this.
She's so damn cute. How could
she's
you not
like
anymore,
her? Though.
She is.
No, she really isn't.
She is.
No.
I want to kiss you.
She's lost.
Thanks,
I do,
Chris from Toronto writes in, thanks for doing such a great job on PFW in progress this offseason and moving forward. You've gotten me through some pretty boring days at the office. I think Paul said it best last week when he lamented the Patriots' inability to score touchdowns in the red zone trips they had against the Bills, and this certainly reared its head again against the Jets. Wes Welker's absence, a weak running game, and the plethora of penalties didn't help either. That's another thing we haven't talked about, 11 penalties.
You're right,
they had more penalties than points.
You're right. Penalties were a big problem in that game.
Yep. But it wouldn't have been awful if you take out the four delay of games. That drops that number
but
significantly,
you know
which
they
is
had
a ridiculous penalty to have multiple times in a game.
And I don't know if you watched the replays
Brady said,
on this one.
You know, I didn't
one.
Want to take a timeout, so I just let it run down.
There were some holding calls that Pop Warner officials would have called holding. I mean, Stephen Neal just completely tackled Chris Jenkins on the first play after the fumble, when we recovered the fumble deep in their territory and we immediately went back 10 yards. Stephen Neal looked like he had never even touched Jenkins. He just reached out and tackled him. I mean, plays that you had to call.
Yep.
They had a lot. They had a lot of big holding penalties in that game, and every one of them was legit.
A lot of it's pressure. I think the Patriots felt the pressure.
No question. That's my point. Before the game started, they felt the pressure.
I think the Jets were in their heads a little bit.
Oh, no question.
On the plus side, while I understand that the Bills and Jets are far from offensive powerhouses, I'm cautiously optimistic in my outlook for the Patriots' D. There were mistakes made, but at the end of the day, could we really have asked any more of them than to hold the Bills and the Jets to 17 and 16 points, respectively? Obviously, I'm not counting the hideous Brady interception. I was particularly pleased with their performance during the first half against the Jets. That said, it was pretty clear to me that one team made some necessary adjustments at halftime and the other didn't. I know that to utter this next phrase is blasphemy of the highest order, but do I dare say that the Patriots have been underprepared and outcoached these first two games of the season?
This week, I would say yes.
For different reasons, I would say yes.
I think they were overcoached. Yes. I think they were overcoached this week.
That's outcoached.
Yeah, I think they were outcoached in game two. I think their game plan wasn't good. And in game one, I think they let a team with far less ability and talent outplay them for 55 minutes. And that's got to at least be a little bit coaching related.
Sure.
So, yeah.
All right. It's 1:17. We need to take a break. We'll be right back.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. But you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warmups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards, first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A., Bank of America N.A., member FDIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Hey,
PrepRadio@Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Here in PFW in progress. Eric's out today. He worked an hour
yesterday. Finally
is
out? What? He's finally out?
See, now that's not right.
Yeah,
what?
What are we talking about?
Scott, New Hampshire says, well, this is a little bit of a transcript from Belichick's press conference. Reporter says, what happened with the delay of game penalties? Belichick says, we did not get the playoff in time.
That was another classic from the postgame.
On the list of Belichick things that Belichick hates, a press conference after a loss has to be in the top 10. Oh, by the way, all these people complaining about how he, you know, didn't really shake, you know, Rex Ryan's hands well enough.
Who was complaining about that?
And he kind of, you know, dismissed Mark Sanchez. I guess Belichick said after the game, in the tunnel, he had extensive conversation with both of them.
Who was complaining about that?
Oh, that was a big thing on the radio. You know, why would you diss a rookie quarterback who all he wanted to do was,
on
you know.
On EEI they were talking about that?
Yeah, callers.
The
morning show, right? Not the afternoon.
The guys weren't. Are you kidding?
That's ridiculous. That's why I was asking. I was stunned.
The morning show could have been.
I don't know.
They could have been.
No, but I guess Belichick had extensive conversations with both Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez.
How did we find that out?
He said it on air, so it had to be true or he'd be lying.
Oh, okay.
Hey, it had to be true or he'd be lying.
Well said, Fred.
All it takes is for him not to be true, and Mark Sanchez goes, I never talked to him.
I agree with the
of course he talked to him.
With the emailer, by the
had
way,
to
about
be true or he'd be lying.
Post-game press conferences after a loss have to be high on his top 10 list of things he hates. Do you think he could have a full top 10 list of things he loves?
No.
I'm not sure.
Oh, I know a few.
Winning.
Yeah.
Bon Jovi.
His
kids.
Super Bowl rings.
Lacrosse.
Yeah.
Lacrosse.
We might be able to get 10.
Old school football. Football history.
Yep. Let's see. Pete in the UK, they've
given
too much away on D. No leadership. You can almost feel the fear of the big play. Combine that with an O that can't get into the end zone, and it's an 8-8 season. That says Pete. He's pissed about the season.
That's the second person today that told me they're going to go 8-8 this year. I think you guys are high. There's no way they're going to lose 8 games.
So is this like, Andy, your win-one, lose-one year? Remember that?
Well, I got to tell you, I think if they're in line to go 8-8, they'll go worse than 8-8 because I think it'll blow up. I think it'll blow the bleep up on them. I don't think they'll go 8-8. I think they either stay where I think they're going to be, which is 12-4, or if it goes downhill, poop could fly.
They're going to turn it around. Don't worry.
It was one game.
I know.
Don't misquote me on your blog anymore either.
I said exactly what you said.
No, you didn't.
And I let you rebut.
I clarified it. I didn't say they were dead against New York. I said they were done for the year.
That's better. let's see.
He's a psycho.
Sam in Chicago. I agree, Fred. I'm not worried. I'm actually relieved. 2007 put me and many fans into the instant gratification mode. With the high by the way.
I did like wins better
than
losses.
By the way, this is what the league is supposed to be. 2007 was an aberration, which lends to the idea of, you know, you take that win instead of the 10 years. But that doesn't happen. This is what happens every year in the NFL. The Pittsburgh Steelers losing in week two. That's what happens every year.
Pittsburgh loses in week two every year?
No, I'm just saying that, you know, teams being pulled to the pack. The
media guy.
You know, very rarely do you have that runaway team that is just head and shoulders above everybody
else.
They
kicked that game away, too. Did you see any of the highlights of that? I mean, they missed the field goal. They missed all kinds of opportunities. They should have won the game. They missed all kinds of opportunities.
We're not used to, you know, we think that we are so much better than every other team, you know.
You're saying we're not?
No, we're not. We're among the better teams.
Wow.
And we have the best coach and quarterback.
I thought it was just hand us the trophy.
Yes. What happened to raping
and pillaging?
Because
of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Wow. We will win.
But what happened to raping and pillaging? We don't worry about that.
Now we're just among some of the best teams.
I want to rape and pillage.
We got a good little team.
I want to rape. Save that one.
You know, I want to do what the Jets said they were going to do to us. I want to embarrass teams on the way out. Okay. I want their girlfriends to leave them.
You didn't used to say, that's what I want.
I want the players' girlfriends to be like, I want to go on that bus when they look at the Patriots bus. Because we're the men and they are the boys. That's what I want to happen.
Okay? But all the girls are with the
Jets. It can't happen every week. This is the NFL. It's built to not let that happen.
But it kind of used to happen around here.
Yeah, that's not what you used to say.
16-0, 14-2, 14-2.
That's what we think should happen every year.
But you say it's going to happen every year. You don't say, this is what I want.
You're the guys
happen.
That said it was 13-3. I said 12-4. You think it's going to happen more than me?
No, but you're missing my point. You always say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go in there. We're going to, you know, these fans.
That's just what I do.
We're going to rape and pillage. Now you're saying, well, that's what I want. That's what I hope happens. There's a big difference between those two things. See? Doc's got your on
I want
to
rape.
I want to rape.
I want to rape them of their dignity. Okay. That's what I want to do.
But I think the soundbite will just be, I want to rape.
Of course it will. Anyway, on to Sam's email. With the high expectations coming into 09 with Brady's return, why wouldn't over half of the fan email slash blog comments be calling bloody murder, quote, season over with the way the first two games have played out? Listening to Belichick yesterday on EEI, he seemed relaxed, humorous at times, and generally optimistic. Not tense, like a guy without confidence. Remember,
Bill doesn't lack for confidence, by the way. I wouldn't worry about that.
Remember what we were all saying after the first four games last season. Bill knows the team will get better, a lot better. And we were close in the Jets game. We just beat ourselves. We did things that we normally don't do. 9 times out of 10, we will make the plays we missed Sunday, no problem.
Now we're comparing a season with Brady with a season without Brady?
We have the pieces in place.
And I don't think that we lost because of that. We lost because the other team was better.
We have the pieces in place. The D looks great, and now we're back under the radar and have the Jets back in November. Revenge is sweet. Quick question. Fred Taylor had only 8 carries. Why didn't they play him more? When Chris Jenkins went down, why didn't the Patriots take advantage and run the ball? They did. They got stuffed on that play.
They didn't run the ball.
Very often. Right after that was 3rd and 1, and they got stuffed, and Chris Jenkins wasn't in the game.
We're all on board with run more.
Sam in Chicago, and who do I talk so I can make good on our Terrence Nunn bet? Do we have a Terrence Nunn bet going with?
I didn't know about that, but by all means, you talk to Jason and send us a lunch.
Sounds like you owe us a lunch if you tell us what the bet was.
Yeah, look, I think the concerns about the offense, I agree with Fred on. I don't think we'll be talking about that very long this year. Right now, a little slow out of the gates, a little uncharacteristically slow.
You'll be talking about it very loud.
I'll tell you how.
I don't think we'll be talking about this, say, a month from
now. I'll tell you how I could be dead wrong, or anyone that thinks the offense will turn it around could be dead wrong, is if this offensive line is way, way overrated. That's the only way I think that this offense won't produce this
But they've
year.
Been overrated.
Yeah, I think they are a little bit overrated, but I just think Brady makes plays out of it, and he hasn't made the plays the first couple of games. I think he will.
And they're not going to face the Giants or the Jets. I mean, not every team is going to come at them, has the personnel to come at them like some of these teams do that have made them. Miami will, by the way. Keep an eye out for Taylor and Porter. When's that game? Is it a while for that?
I picked Miami in that game, but I was glad to see them lose. I hate Joey Porter. Did you see the feature they did with him before the game?
Did you see the sack he had when he came off left end? And the running back, it was like he looked, saw him coming, and said, I'm not getting in front of that, and turned to the inside to pick somebody else up.
That was weird.
It was like, I want no piece of that.
And Manning saw him coming, too, and ducked just in time. Yeah. Oh, boy.
It's amazing that those two, Manning and Brady, I mean, I know they're the best two and everything, but do they have to be the best two at absolutely everything?
Yeah.
I mean, they even hand off better than every other quarterback. I mean, it's amazing. Brady had one on Sunday where the guy, I think it was Brian Thomas, had him dead to rights. He just ducked at the last minute, and he went right by.
He's got it, Paul.
It's unbelievable how many little things those two guys do.
Yemi from Texas, I have 2 rants, he said. One, is there nobody on the team who can run the ball past the 20-yard line on kickoffs? After the first
the opening kick of the year, Lawrence Maroney came a whisker away from returning for a touchdown. And I was complaining about the kickoff return.
I'd go to the bathroom and hear Edelman 15 or something.
After the first kickoff.
Yeah, they weren't good on Sunday. I'll agree with that.
After the first kickoff against the Bills, the Patriots have been starting behind the 25-yard line after kickoffs. Even Lawrence Maroney has not showed his speed on returns. This begs a question. Is Maroney really that fast? I have not really seen his speed in 3 years. Two, are you guys sick of the two-gap system as I am? I think this has an impact on our run defense. Our defenders have to wait for the running back to come to them instead of attacking him. We must lead the league in yards after contact on running plays. Just like offenses have evolved into a passing type in the league, defenses have also evolved into one-gap attacking defenses. Don't you guys get excited watching the Steelers, Eagles, Giants, Ravens, and now the Jets play defense? I want that kind of defense on the Patriots. I'm sick and tired of this sit-back-and-react kind of defense. Do you guys think Belichick will ever swallow his pride and hand over his defense to somebody from those teams I mentioned to run an attacking defense?
Wow. Hand over his defense? No. Now maybe he changes philosophy and more, sure. But hand over the key, say, you know what, I like what the Steelers are doing and bring somebody in from there. No way.
You know, there's a lot of one-gap teams.
It's his show.
You know, some of them are like, some of them are good teams too, like Indianapolis, who gave up 240 right. yards on the ground last night. Because why? Half the time they were past the ball carrier before he started.
It was convenient how he picked Steelers, Giants, Jets, teams that are playing good defense right now.
Mike in Raleigh says it's time to hit the panic button. I know it's only been 2 weeks, but I think it's time to do it. This team
Fire
does
Belcher.
Not look like it's going to be good. We are lucky we're not 0-2.
And I we agree have that we're lucky to not be 0-2, but let's put the brakes on the panic button thing.
And we have a very
it doesn't look like it's going to be good.
We have a very good chance of losing the next two games. Ryan and Flacco are different beasts than Edwards and Sanchez. Besides our third down defense, I think the biggest problem is the offensive line. They're getting pushed around. Our running game is non-existent because our running backs are being met with defenders in the backfield on a regular basis. In pass protection, it looked like the Jets blitzed every down last week, even though many times they were only rushing four. Brady looked off, but if you consider the time he had to throw the ball, I think he did a respectable job. And what's up with Galloway? This guy looks like he shouldn't be on the field. The two bright spots of this game were Guyton and Edelman. I thought Guyton did a pretty good job filling in for Mayo. Also, Edelman looked like a new Wes Welker out there, very impressive. Certainly there's time to improve, but until our offense gets its act together, we are in big trouble. I think there is a better than 50% chance we are going to be 1-3 going into week 5.
Better than 50%.
I'll say this. If we are 1-3 going into week 5,
you'll take your pants off.
No, I'll be panicking.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, everybody's pushing the panic button right now. If that happens, I will be panicking.
I resign.
And it could happen.
Because it'll be a lucky 1-3. It could be 0-4.
They're playing two pretty good teams the next 2 weeks. As I said at the beginning of the show, I'm very glad that both of those games are at home. Because I think in Atlanta and in Baltimore, I think we'd be really hard-pressed to win those games right now.
Yeah. Louis says, don't you just hate the Jets? They win the Super Bowl on draft day and after week two. Don't they remember that last season they were 8-3 and looked poised to win the division? How did that turn out? Questions. One.
They went 9-7.
That's right. How many games can we win allowing 20 points? I think most of them.
Well, based on what we've seen, like yeah. Andy said, based on what we've seen the first 2 weeks.
One.
Yeah.
Two.
Half of those were yeah. able to win.
How much time before people start talking about Tom Brady's body language?
I don't know.
Remember that?
I don't know. Yeah.
More criticism, I think, is ridiculous.
And three.
I'm such a quarterback suck-up.
How long until we start talking about Randy Moss's body language?
Oh. Something to keep an eye on, I think.
Well, somebody was critical of him yucking it up on the sideline with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, that he shouldn't be laughing on the sideline.
Was this after the game?
During the game. Somebody emailed me.
Well, like, at what point of the game?
It was in the fourth quarter. Yeah.
I'd have to see the context. I don't necessarily have a problem with it, though.
Three, finally.
I mean, if we're losing by 30 points, that's different. But yeah.
Has Fred already bought a Kyle Orton jersey? I'm off the Broncos. I'm not.
Plus, he already has a Broncos jersey that fits him perfectly. Elway. Good thing he wasn't 17.
A lot of these emails are very long.
A lot of the Ask PFWs were very long.
Yeah, the
people are they sit down and they start going, and it's just like stream of consciousness.
That's why you mentioned at the beginning of the show, Freddie, that you were mad that you had to wait 2 days.
Right,
I'm not.
You like to,
yeah, let it digest a little. Everybody yeah. was real. I mean, Andy's just talked about the Ask PFWs. We must have had about 30 of them from when we left here at what 11 o'clock Sunday night to yesterday,
yeah.
and they were all negative.
Very, very
every
upset.
One of them was negative.
Very upset.
There was one guy I actually included him just because he said, I think we're better than the Jets and we'll beat him again. Woohoo! Keep the faith or something.
Yeah.
So I posted it just because.
Okay, I suppose I shouldn't say all of them were negative.
It's a good thing Brady lives in California or they'd wreck his front lawn.
He has homes
I'm only kidding.
All around the world.
I'm only kidding.
Maybe they could go wreck the one in Costa Rica.
Longtime listener says Alan from Scotland. I'm a Pats fan from Scotland. I'm quite worried. The Pats are a mess. We can't run the ball, or at least we choose not to. Brady is all over the place.
We choose not to run.
Brady is all over the place, and our receivers couldn't catch a cold. Too many dumb penalties. Can't finish off red zone drives. Defense can't make big third down stops. I think that we all miss Gerard Mayo, and with Wes Welker going down, we won't have the same underneath threat, which means Moss will be double covered or even triple covered. Two bad games in a row. Bill Belichick has a lot of work to do to beat a red-hot Falcons team. If we lose on Sunday, not only will it be the first time we've fallen below 500 since 2001, but it will be the first time Brady has lost back-to-back games in the NFL since one and only time he has done this in 05. Fear not, I do believe that we can win on Sunday. We're at home, and their defense won't blitz as much as the Jets did. We have to run the ball more to be successful. P.S. Can't wait for the London game. That is Alan from Scotland.
Good news is the Bucks look like they stink.
Yeah.
If you really want to look forward to that London game.
Yeah, they really do. I guess their defense is in shambles or something.
Their organization is in shambles from general manager straight on down. Check that. From head Glazier guy straight on down.
Dan, it was 06, by the way.
We 06, lost, they lost back-to-back.
Back-to-back games. Indianapolis and the Jets at home.
In my peripheral vision, I could see Paul's mind going as soon
well,
as
Andy and
that.
I both looked at each other because I think we both thought it was 06, and I wanted to make sure.
Dan in West Palm Beach says, do you guys have any archives of some Charlie Weiss schemes to handle the overload blitzes? I think they should look at some history and look back at old playbooks for some inspiration for this offense. I feel Brady will see this all year now since the Jets found a way to stop Brady. You know, it's funny. Again, I remember the Broncos game where the Patriots just – it wasn't the safety game. It was the game in Denver before that one where Brady just didn't have a second. And Charlie Weiss was the offensive coordinator back then.
More than that,
you know,
I remember when he came up with creative things and people were claiming he was
right,
showing off
right.
to try to get hired as a head coach.
That's right.
Case in point, the Daniel Graham end around.
Right. So now I guess they want Bill O'Brien to show off to try to, well, first become a coordinator and then become a head coach.
No, it's not the play calling per se.
Well, some of it may be. I'm not going to disregard play calling. I think there's a talent there and an art there, but I don't think it's the be-all, end-all for success and or failure. I'm like Bill. I tend to think players need to perform. You know, I think the offensive line needs to play better. I think Brady needs to hit his receivers when they're open. I think receivers need to run the correct routes and catch the ball when they're open.
But it sort of shows, I think, how Brady does cover up for so much. Because when we've seen him be sort of average and ordinary the last 2 weeks, all of a sudden the scoreboard's not lighting up. He was under a lot of heat in that game, but he did miss a couple of throws. All of a sudden you make one or two of those throws, maybe you score some points, but maybe you also force them to back off a little bit and stop
right.
just
yeah.
selling out like that. I mean, even on that last drive, give the Jets credit. They had them 90 yards away. There was five plays to end the game. The first one was like a 20-yard pass to Edelman over the middle, and then four incomplete passes. They blitzed on every one of them. You know, how many times have we seen,
right.
let's just keep it all in front of us, make
right.
them use the clock, and all of a sudden they're throwing the ball into the end zone from the 20 at the end of the game, and you're sweating it out.
I
the
guess
Jets didn't play it like
that. You haven't seen that too many times from Rex Ryan.
I agree.
Balls to the wall, I think.
Which was funny because I thought offensively he did do that. He did that.
But I said to you, I'm not sure.
In 10 weeks, I bet he won't be doing that anymore.
I think Callahan and Schottenheimer are there, right? Bill Callahan is still the assistant head coach on offense, I believe. So I'm not sure how hands-on Rex Ryan is with the offense.
Yeah.
I think he comes from a defense. He's a defense guy.
And I also
maybe lets them do their thing.
Down the road, a couple of months from now, I bet you they won't be doing that anymore.
Right.
You know, if they're comfortable with Sanchez and it's okay, he's proven that he can throw the ball and protect. Because there's ways to throw the ball in the fourth quarter. You don't take chances there. You just, if it's not there, you either take the sack if you need to keep the clock running, or you throw it away and punt.
But which is also why, you know, Fred was saying he feels good about the defense. I'm not sure if Sanchez had been asked to make some plays, he wouldn't have.
Well,
and I don't know.
He did miss a really, really bad one, a third and two on the second to last possession the Jets had. Dustin Keller wide open, mm-hmm. just threw it over his head by about 10 feet.
But
missed him badly.
Brady missed some, too.
Brady missed a lot.
You know, the guy, one of those emails said Flacco and Ryan are different birds. Well, I'm not sure. Sanchez may be the same bird. He may be a rookie starter now who next year you're saying, wow, he's a good NFL quarterback.
I'm really looking forward to seeing both of these guys these next 2 weeks to see what kind of accuracy they have. Because you can't – stuff that you can't tell by the stats.
Right.
You know, you can have good completion percentages and stuff like that, but – where's the ball going? How tough are the throws? What kind of pressure were they under? I'm really looking forward to seeing both of these guys because they both look like they've really taken a step forward in year two. I don't know.
Well, I think their teams have, too, to help.
Offensively, both of those guys were sort of kept under wraps and treated like rookies last year, which is understandable, especially with good teams. This year, it looks like a lot more of the burden is being placed mm-hmm. on both of them. We wrote about Ryan this week. I think the story is almost the same
By the way,
for the Ravens with Flacco.
They are
I have to admit, Eli Manning looks
Falcon and Raven.
Really good. He looks
Eli Manning was tremendous in that Sunday night game.
He looks like he has a control over the game that he didn't even in 07 when he won the Super Bowl.
Did you see when he came on the field for that drive? It was almost like he said, I heard you talking about this on the Monday Night Countdown. I totally agreed. It was not, he knew that they were scoring.
Yeah.
The number one goal in his mind was take all the time off the clock. There was like three and change.
Manning, Peyton actually referenced it in his post game. He said they asked him, you know, coming on the field, hadn't had a lot of chances. And he said, well, I had such a good inspiration the night before with Eli showing me how it's done or something.
Yeah.
I mean, even Peyton.
They had the one break where the defensive lineman got a hand on the pass and it was still completed. But how many times do we talk about it in the press box? There's like 35, 40 seconds left, and you complete a pass for a first down, and everybody starts running around, and they're jumping up and calling timeouts, and you're like, no, let it run. You want to make sure this is the last possession of the game. Let it run. You don't need your timeouts.
Right.
There was no panic at all in his face, and that was an unbelievable drive. And again, by the way, that timeout rule needs to go.
Oh, for the field.
If you want to let the coaches call timeout from the sideline, fine. Can't do it on kicks. That's it. Simple black and white rule. Can't do it on kicks. That's terrible what they did in that.
Mike and Charlotte, is it me or has Brady not been stepping into the pocket in these first two games?
With you and Jaws.
In the past, when the tackles would block upfield, Brady would move up towards the line of scrimmage, and I think he can see the field better from this position and also step into his throws a little more. This year, he seems to keep backing up or moving side to side. Is it because the Bills and Jets were rushing more up the middle? Yeah, I mean, stepping up in the pocket is something he's good at. I've seen him do it a couple times. I don't think it is, you know, a mental thing. His mechanics might look bad because of the pressure he's under.
I'm with Andy in this. I really want to go back and look at 07.
I think Jaws should. I mean, he's the guy with the NFL Films connection. Go do it. If you're so hell-bent on
proving. If you can show
me
a consistent, discernible difference in 07, and I'm not saying there's not one there. I haven't seen it. I remember.
I think there isn't one there.
But I'd like to see.
Jaws.
I'd like to see him throw 10, 15, 20 passes in 07 with guys around him. I'm not talking about standing around with no one near him. I'm talking about under pressure.
Put the Super Bowl in.
If they're the same in 07 as they are now, this is a non-factor.
Put the Super Bowl in. You have plenty of pressure in that game.
Good. That's a good one to use.
Cuijo from Texas. I'm not trying to insinuate the refs are corrupt, but I want to point out that they may have some bias. The same crew called a record number of penalties on us a few games ago. Now, on the offense, there were some momentum-killing holding calls that were just pure bollocks. So only the Pats hold now. The Jets were holding a lot in the fourth quarter, and the flags did not come out. Am I looking at something that is not there?
Yes.
There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
Yeah. First of all, the Jets had 8 penalties, so it was 11-8. So it wasn't like, you know, it was 11-2. And the Patriots' the holding penalties were absolutely legit.
I don't follow officiating crews, but if you know the numbers, my guess is it's a crew that calls a lot of penalties. Because generally, you can track the crews, and you know they call a lot of holdings.
Yeah, and 4 delay of games out of the 11 penalties.
Right.
You want them to not call those?
It's hard to not call those.
How do you not call that? That's like when Bill
says, get really mad.
You know, Bill says that on, you know, those, we don't really count those as penalties because it's not really the referee calling them. They're automatics. False starts. The penalty that's driving me crazy, by the way, is this illegal formation. Something needs to be done about this. There's 3 of them in every game on each team.
What's going on?
Every game. And they didn't say anything about this being a point of emphasis.
I was just
going to
say,
I didn't hear about this
being a new thing of emphasis. The rule hasn't changed.
I asked the Jets guy that I was telling you about, you know, I said, did you go to that? And he said, yeah. I said, did they mention anything about this? You know, when the referees come and talk to us in the summer. No, didn't mention a word.
No.
And they didn't say anything to us either. And
Paul was really making out with this team.
They're calling it 3 times a game. Well, you know why.
It could be his next job.
You know who was on? No, there was someone sitting very close to my left side.
Yeah, who I would have been trying to make out with.
No, this is before she was there.
Oh, I thought you meant Catherine Tappan.
No, well, she wasn't there yet.
Oh, hot.
Want to touch the hiney?
Anyway.
Ow. She's smoking, by the way. It's a good thing that her camera guy came over and sat in between us because I don't think I would have seen much of the game.
Wow.
But
I'm sorry. Is that my hand?
To her left.
Can I see your lap?
Her left was McLovin. So I was directing myself to the right purposely throughout the game, and I was talking to Dan.
So Dan got you. Forget it.
Let's see. Alex from New York, or I don't know if he's from New York. He says New York in the title.
What?
I don't know where he's
We
from.
Played the Jets. Most emails are probably related to the New York game.
The Patriots had their chances but couldn't close the deal. Suddenly, the schedule looks terrifying. The Falcons and Ravens seem to come out of an Alfred Hitchcock movie. But you know what?
Well, I the, like birds. It, the birds. Yeah. I like it.
That's good. We've been here before. Good. Remember in 2006 after the night game when the Broncos beat the crap out of the Pats and the Patriots looked due for a blowout and even Fred took the Bengals to win the ensuing week? I did. The Patriots offense.
I want clarification on that.
Tapes.
The Patriots offense will rebound against the Falcons. Patriots win by 10 points and put me in the Fred Kirsch 18-1 bandwagon.
Yeah, I think they win this game. I don't think the Falcons have what it takes. We'll get into this, I'm sure, tomorrow and Thursday, but I don't think they have the moxie to come into Gillette Stadium and win.
I think
Baltimore, on the other hand, I think might.
Baltimore, John Abraham's got the moxie.
I think Baltimore might have enough on defense to get it done, even though they didn't look good last week on defense. Did you see the play by Ray Lewis, by the way, the winning play?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was a big play by him.
Unbelievable play. And a terrible play on the third down by Nene.
Yeah.
You didn't see any of the highlights of that game?
He was like he was shot out of a cannon.
That was a great game. 31-26.
There's a Colbert. She doesn't look good anymore.
Even though this is radio, that was very funny.
Mensa from the Bronx. I think the Patriots should have actually released Galloway and brought back Greg Lewis.
Me too.
You have Brady working with this guy, and you release him. What's with that? Yeah, that was a strange one.
You have Brady working with this guy, and then you release him?
I really got to tell you, I don't think there'd be any difference.
No, I do. I think Greg Lewis had a better camp.
I think they're both Jags in this offense.
Is he supposed to be a Jag?
Oh, yeah, no, that's the problem. I think as you sign two receivers to be your third guy and neither one of them hit, I think that's a problem.
Trade it for one.
I just don't think Greg Lewis would be a discernible upgrade over what Galloway has been.
I do.
Is it Galloway just not running the right routes?
I don't think it's adjustments. It's not. I mean, if you tell him what route to run, I'm sure he can run a proper route. I think
just not the way they want him to.
Exactly. I think Brady is looking for things. Listen, if this guy is here, you got to do this. If this guy's over there, you got to do that. If they show this at the snap, you got to be in the right place. And Brady expects a lot out of the receivers, and I don't think he's getting a lot out of him, and I don't think he got a lot out of Edelman in that regard. I think most of Edelman's catches were stuff that he didn't have to adjust to like that. Because I think based on the quote-unquote body language that we talked about, I don't think they were happy with where Edelman was a lot of the times during that game, even though he caught 8 passes. I mean, he was throwing the ball, what, 16 times, right?
Yes.
So that's half the time they threw it to him, he didn't get it. And more than half the time they threw it to Galloway, he didn't get it.
Yeah.
He doesn't get it.
Never mind caller. So there's no caller on there?
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
I didn't know there was a call waiting.
I was going to go
to... Neither did Fred, even though he has a screen that tells him
there's
a call
waiting. I was
going
to go to Steve in Oregon, but he's not there anymore.
Oh, I like Steve Areno.
Oh, yeah. By the way, do we still have that iPod guy listening? Can hook me up with buying an iPod? If so, please email.
So you're looking for a cheap iPod?
I'm looking for a discount off the, the new generation Nano?
Okay.
With the video and everything. So if you can help me out in that area, please send emails to webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com.
This is Michael from Florida. I have a few things I want to talk about. To start off with, I'm worried about this weekend's loss. If anything, I'm just concerned. I have a few points on why I think we were sputtering on Sunday's game. I think two things of the coaching staff. First of all, I think they are playing way too conservative. Second, the choice of play calling, in my opinion, was very poor. I know each player has to execute. It's only week two with a lot of new faces. But other than Brady getting back in sync, I'm not seeing any deep balls this year. I know every team's safeties are playing deep, but come on. There were a lot of blitzing. I saw no screen to help with that, no trick plays. No draw in a blitzing situation. Maybe I'm wrong, but these are just a few things an average Joe like me would do in these situations. But I guess you have to trust the Pats coaches. My opinion, Maroney and Taylor are good backs, but they're using Maroney wrong. The run game needs to get established and fast, especially with the Pats wanting to run the ball in the red zone on first and second down. My opinion, it's playing too conservative and insanity for the Pats to do things that aren't working. I feel the Pats could have scored at least one touchdown if Brady is throwing on goal line or in the red zone. I'm not taking a hit.
Did I miss this game?
Yeah, I don't know.
That Brady's not throwing the ball on the goal line?
Yeah.
Could have had one touchdown if
he threw the ball 47 times in the game the other day.
Yeah.
And we ran it 20. How is that conservative?
I don't know.
I think I missed this game.
On defense, he says they did okay. They were not the best, but they held the Jets to no touchdowns and a very dismal offense in the first half. They can only do so much. The offense needs to put up points to help the defense. It would have made Dirty Sanchez press to make plays, and I feel that could have caused turnovers. Mayo went down last week. Why not sign a veteran or trade? Okay, blah, blah, blah. So I don't think bringing in a veteran would have helped that game. And, you know,
unless he was on offense, played receiver.
I'm talking about linebacker. You know?
I know.
Yeah.
Do you think that, you know, you start a game without Mayo, assuming that you're going to have to see four or five others without him, do you think after seeing one, there's a pressing need, they need to go out and get somebody, or can they continue to get by playing two linebackers?
I think they can get by. There's nobody that I want to bring in. That's
how I feel about it. I don't love anybody enough to want to bring
him
in.
I don't love the defense without Mayo, but I don't love anybody to play.
Hey, Steven's back on the phone. Steve, how you doing?
Oh, hey.
Hey, guys. You know, one of the kids, you know, this, that, and the other thing. I had to do something.
I was going to say, you only have, what, 13 of them, a Baker's dozen?
No, just seven.
Seven.
A Baker's half dozen? I don't know.
Yeah, so, sure.
Yeah, there you go. I just called to, first thing, Fred, about that, thing on the Patriots movie with the audio.
Yeah.
Is PFW going to be on there? Cause all I saw was the playbook and I don't need to sleep while I'm driving.
So PFW Progress will be on there. Yes.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yep.
Wow.
Nice. And then, you know, I just called to give my two cents about the game and I just, you know, I thought that Brady was, just way off in the game. I thought that for as much as he did to win the Buffalo game, I don't think he did enough to help us win the Jets game, and, you know, I'm just hoping it's just the rust on him. And, you know, Atlanta's got a formidable team, and I think that we're going to have a lot to worry about this week, and we need to really make sure we're hitting on all cylinders. And that last emailer was an idiot, and I agree with you about not needing any linebackers. I don't think we need to go out and get anybody. I think, you know, Mayo will be back, and I think that we'll be okay. So, I didn't hear you guys announce the game, so I was just curious about what you guys thought about Brady and that stuff.
Well, we talked a lot about, to some degree, them getting out-coached and kind of taking themselves out of their own game plan and going to all the hurry-up, up-tempo with the wristbands and the whiteboards. And it was almost like they put so much credence in what Kevin O'Connell was telling the Jets and beating the Jets' pressures and all these different things that they took themselves out of their own offensive system.
I can see that right there. Yeah, they didn't seem to be in sync at all and anywhere within the game. I mean, the defense held them to 16 points. You figured that would be enough for the offense to score enough points and win that game.
Yeah, that's the theory.
Absolutely.
That's what we were hoping for.
Yeah, I was kind of gripping the whole game after they didn't score any touchdowns on those first three possessions when they got field goals. So.
Yeah, we're not used to seeing Brady leading this offense to field goals.
Yeah, that wasn't what I was looking for.
They didn't move the ball all day. They had one real actual scoring drive, and that was the last one before the half where they went about 70 yards, and they got a field goal. They had one field goal drive. They went minus 10 yards, on the turnover. You know, they went three and out to open the game. They just didn't, right from the start, they just didn't look like it was Patriots offense.
Yeah. Hey, what was your guys' quick assessment of Edelman 1 through 10? On his performance of taking over for Welker for that game.
I mean, I think for him he did fine, but I just I'm not happy with having to throw it to him 16 times.
Right, he was thrown to the Wolves. I mean, he's a converted quarterback who had a nice game.
Yeah, for him, I would say six or seven. You know, I think I don't think you could have expected a whole lot more than what you got out of him.
Yeah, he had the one ball that he dropped, which could have got him close to the goal line. Then he had the other one that Brady missed him. But other than that, I think he did fine.
But the fact that your fourth receiver is a converted
seventh-round
quarterback, what does that say about your depth and how you put your team together and what you're doing?
Yeah, for sure. It seemed like the receiving core was good or decent at best, and now it seems kind of shaky at this moment with Welker out for sure. So,
yeah, some depth issues.
Okay. All right. Steve,
thanks, Steve. Go take care of those kids.
Herd up those kids. You're missing one, I think.
Jay from Hanson says he'll give us a short email.
Get one of those ropes like a daycare.
Jay says Adalys Thomas is an overpaid Jag. He hasn't made a play since the interception return for a touchdown two seasons ago. He should give half his paycheck to Ray Lewis. So,
But maybe Rex Ryan should get some, too.
That's tough right there.
People are turning.
You know what the toughest part is?
Can't dispute it.
I can't passionately dispute it, that's for sure.
So, Adelis, when you see Paul Perillo in the locker room,
he was on board
with overpaid Jag.
He's scared. I don't think he's a Jag, but I don't think he's been what we thought he was going to be. Can we say
sure.
that?
Sure. Fred,
when
Fred,
we backed the Brinks truck up to his backyard
right.
and gave him the money?
And if you ever say to him that I said that, I'll deny it to my dying day because he scares okay. me.
Fred says he wants to talk about Moss's body language. Fun fact regarding Revis. Randy Moss has 9 catches for 72 yards in the last 3 games against the Jets. It's fair to say that Revis owns him.
Yeah, except for that he didn't cover him in one of those games.
Moss will be fine next week. Don't worry about his body language. So
I'm not really worried about Moss. I'm just – we know that he has motivational issues at times when things aren't going well, and right now – they're sputtering. And I asked him about a post game, and he said the frustration comes in with how much firepower we have and how hard we work, and it doesn't play out on the field. So there's an admission that frustration can build. He knows himself. He admitted it last year when Brady went down that he dealt with some challenges or hurdles emotionally in dealing with it. How's he going to deal with it? If he averages 10 yards a catch now? 6 yards a catch on Sunday? I mean, this isn't the Moss.
4 for 24 on Sunday after, you know, I know it was 12 catches for 140 yards in the opener, and that sounds really good, but that's not Moss-like numbers.
And it was all going down the field and taking in cuts, going down the field.
Taking
he
out
likes
cuts,
to go down the field cut, you know. And keep going down the field and then point to his jersey in the end zone while flexing.
Yeah. And it wasn't on Sunday. It wasn't because they were rolling the safeties on his side. That's not the way they played him. Now, against Buffalo, it was.
Oh, yeah.
They were determined not to let him get deep against Buffalo.
They were 20 yards deep every snap.
Lucas says, after watching the first 2 games, I guess concern is allowed. I don't think we are good enough in the trenches. Our O-line looks bad, and our D-line can't get any pressure. I don't think we are the elite team anymore. Anyway, I do think we're going to go to the playoffs, and then anything is possible. Go Pats. So,
it's another email I don't really have any problem with.
We have a lot of emails that we haven't got to. I mean a lot.
Because you skipped the long ones.
No, and what will happen is John Rook is coming on next with Patriots Playbook. And
Steve in Oregon's favorite show here.
Right, stay tuned. And whatever emails I didn't get to, right, Jason?
Correct.
I'll hand them over to John. I will give him our emails as a gift to his show.
And he gives us the gift of analysis because he told us the Jets were going to beat the Patriots last week on this program.
I did.
Wow. Are we the only ones that didn't pick the Jets?
Sort of.
John emphatically
told you, Mike,
said that the Jets were going to
I told you,
Patriots.
Mike Reese on Patriots All Access.
Good for John.
Merrill Hodge.
Good for John. John's such a genius.
Thanks, Fred.
Wow.
Thanks,
wow.
Fred.
Fred. He's kind of a homer, too. It's not like he's Mr. Negativity.
That's why I was eye-open. I mean, Mike.
Kind of a homer?
Yeah,
that's Homer. That's not Homer. The other thing. Not the
that's
thing
right.
I call Eric.
Like I made the comment, voice of the Patriots, everybody. John Rook.
Yeah. Right. So the fact that John said it to me means something. All right. It's not just, you know, Andy, who's Mr. Negative.
John gets the cookie this week. Good for John.
What kind of cookie?
Good for John.
How about
he gets
a little bit
cookie.
Of stale fried dough? Will that work?
Yeah, sure. That'll work.
John, what do you think?
Fred, honestly, I haven't been able to put my finger on any one or two things, just like you guys.
That's the problem.
Think,
there's
was,
a lot of
there
things.
Are several
a lot of
things.
Holes in the dike.
There are several things I think that
I'm not going to say it, Jason. Don't worry.
You know what? You set him up beautifully. You know that, right?
Speaking of Susie Coleman.
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
yeah, speaking of things you can't say.
Wow. My goodness.
Did she have a baby? Did she?
Yes, she did.
You know what?
But they do.
Well, that'll do it for PFW in Progress. Yep. We'll see you never.
You're an atrocity.
All right, go ahead, John. Sorry.
I lost my train of thought.
Me
what
too.
Were we talking about? Football?
Not one thing you can put your finger on. Or
yeah, exactly. You know, you have to start with the fact that the offense moving the football with the 3 drives in the first half and not converting touchdowns. The fact that the defense actually, to me, I thought, you know, when you try to look at this some 48 hours removed now, played fairly well with the exception of that one drive that opened up the second half. And really, the big play on that drive was kind of a busted thing with Brandon Merriweather involved and bumping into his own guy, and stunning. There you go. So, you know, stumbling, and it cost a big play. So, defensively, I think this team, if you're looking for bright spots, silver linings in the cloud, defensively, it could be worse, and it probably even should be, you know, when you consider that you're going to be without Mayo for an extended period of time. Yeah. And you're still without Seymour, which I still don't like the move and probably won't like that move all year long. Yeah.
So as the voice of the pages, the silver lining was defensively it could be worse.
Yes.
And it probably will be.
Wow.
And it probably will be. It was the
hard to get
of
happy.
Voice of the pages,
to, two to four.
That's John Rook.
All right.
Well, that
pushing
is,
you off the ledge for the next 2 hours.
That is John Rook, and you'll have him for
I
the gotta next 2 hours.
I got to keep him on the ledge, Andy.
Remember, if I didn't get to your email in our show, they're still in the queue. John will get to them in the next show.
Yeah, baby.
And we'll be back on tomorrow, Wednesday, at noon. Goodbye.